If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin Bean, there's one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
I am not what you would call a handsome man. The good Lord chose not to bless me with charm, athletic ability, or a fully functional brain.
I'm not sure the right way to say it. I really, really like being the president.
We are all going to die someday. For the lucky few of us, it'll be nice and fast. But for most of us, it'll be just as long and slow and painful as a conversation with you.
We don't have to talk about the Democratic candidates, right? No. They all look like a bunch of girly men, huh?
See how they come at black people?
All right, let's pray. God of Rock, thank you for this chance to kick ass. We are your humble servants. Please give us the power to blow people's minds with our high-voltage rock. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now,
let's do this right so we can all go home and do the wife or the girlfriend thing, all right? Let's suit up, ladies. Time to punch in.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:32, and it is Thursday, the 8th of February. Yola. What's going on, party people?
I'm hoping for a phone call from Dewan. If anyone's out there, keep an eye on the phone, please. He has been texting me furiously in the last 45 minutes.
Okay.
Apparently, in Hollywood yesterday, he encountered in person Drew Barrymore.
No, he did not.
Yes.
Really?
He's been telling us for 5 years that's the only thing that matters to him.
Yes. And it's a little unclear because I'm only getting, you know, text messages, bits and pieces of the story. But it seemed like she may have been doing some sort of an appearance, some sort of an in-store or something to promote her new film that comes out Valentine's Day.
And he went?
I don't know that he went or if he just happened upon it. But he said he was close to her, but not able to get an autograph. So I don't know really what the situation was there or if
I'd put
he kissed her. I don't know.
I would put money on the fact that he did not go to the event but stumbled across it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a bad stalker.
Yeah.
Yeah, he won't even watch her when she's on television. And that's easy and free and you can do it at home.
He's been obsessed with her for so long. He's been telling us, you know, year after year, all I want to do is meet her. And every once in a while, this is kind of strange because every once in a while he'll get a burr up his ass or wherever it goes. And he starts texting Bean just like over and over in the middle of the night.
Like all of a sudden he's just on fire. It has to happen now.
Why haven't you responded? I texted you 6 minutes ago. It's, you know, 4:30 in the morning.
Try to bring her on, dude. Then you get another message like 4 minutes later. Try to bring her on later this month. And then another one like 3 minutes after that. You should have Drew Barrymore on your show. So anyway, I don't see the line ringing, but do keep your eyes peeled in case he's just slow getting to the phone. But I did ask him to call in and give us the update because if he was, you know, that close to Drew Barrymore, he's got to be the happiest little boy in the world today.
Talk about mission accomplished. Talk about you've hit all your goals for the year. Now what does he do?
Yeah.
Smoke out and hang out in the basement.
It's good news right there.
Online. 5:34. Good morning, everybody. I enjoyed another excellent episode of Lost last night, and you're all wrong. Because you don't like it anymore?
I did record it. I haven't watched it, but I couldn't give it up. I had too much invested.
See, that's the thing.
I took it out of season pass and then put it back.
You watch it for so long, it's hard to give up then when you got to know what happens.
I need to know what happens.
Yeah, yes. I understand. It's not that I'm going to stop watching it. It's that it's not something that I'm excited about anymore. It's something that I'll kind of watch because, like you said, you kind of want to see where it goes. I didn't think last night's episode was particularly good, though. Did you?
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. No, see, compared to the best Lost episodes, maybe it wasn't, it's not in the top 10.
Right.
But compared to most other shows, any of their best episodes, this was far and away better.
Well, I think you and I, Kevin, are always more generous with Lost than Bean.
Well, I think
he'll come in and go, it wasn't good, and we come in and say, oh, that was so amazing.
By the way, more generous is a nice way of saying we have worse taste.
Worse. I mean, it's subjective what you enjoy. I mean, I think it was okay. I thought last night was real slow, and I don't really care that much about her and her backstory either. You know what I mean? Which was what most of the episode was about.
I found it fascinating, and I don't want you to watch anymore. I want you to take it off your...
You can appreciate it.
Promise not to watch. I want you to not watch. It's not enough that you don't enjoy it. You have to not watch it now.
It is just weird being back, though, because never has a show gone further out of my consciousness in being gone for a few months as Lost. It just seems like that's a show that I used to watch as a kid, and now it's back for a reunion show, you know? It's so long ago.
It does seem like it's been a while, but
yeah.
They were all in the same cages and whatnot when they returned.
Really?
So,
yeah. Oh, they've been there so long. It's awful.
Exactly. So,
the just real quick, the woman who imprisoned Jack and wants him to kill the leader, Julia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is that her name?
Yeah.
It was her backstory. That's where we found out.
I wanted to see that. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Pretty fascinating. And, you know, certain people may have escaped, may not have. I don't know. You'll have to wait and see.
Certain people may have been killed, may not have.
That's correct.
As a matter of fact.
Really?
I quite enjoyed the episode.
Now I'm excited.
I think you'll like it.
Okay.
We're not talking about the show today, though, because we've been outvoted, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about American Idol today for the very last day, because that was the last, I think, the last, you know, the final really bad singer.
Really bad, yeah.
Episodes. From here on out, they actually start, you know, doing it for real where they
Although you might be outvoted again.
They do start weeding out the bad singers now. I think they have something like 160 that go on to Hollywood, and then they narrow those down over the course of a couple of weeks to 24, and that's when it starts to get into serious competition.
Right. And I'm way out. Just can't imagine myself watching that show. I hate it with every bone in my body.
It's weird how much you hate it.
You know what it is? It's not.
Is it because everyone loves it?
Yes. That's what it is. I mean, you know, if you just kind of don't care about something, you're not passionate one way or the other.
Right.
You don't hate, you don't love. But people everywhere around you, everyone except you, it seems like, watches, talks about all day, raves about, goes on and on about. It turns your non-passion into passionate hate. It drives you out of your mind.
Now you're digging your heels in.
Yes.
Now you despise it.
Like, we didn't care about Dancing with the Stars, for example. Just not on our radar. Not anything that we were the least bit interested in. Boom, you come in every day talking about it.
I mean, you hate it?
And it turns us against it much harder than we would have been because we wouldn't have cared. But then when you come in and you start talking about it, we have to pay you money to not watch. So I'm prepared to make you all an offer for American Idol. I don't know what yet, but...
Wow, it's going to have to be a lot.
I know. I know. But anyway, we have one last set of highlights, and this is from The Bad Singers, and I love The Bad Singers. Because they're not only the bad singers, but they're also the super confident singers. They're the ones with the most confidence. Our fear yesterday was that they were going to have a lot of repeats being and then add a few new ones in. Are these all new or are they?
It was 99% new.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They lived up to the hype. It was a very good episode. And Ralph does a terrific job of pulling the highlights. So we've got that for you coming up.
Fantastic. Also, we need your calls in the 8 o'clock hour if you were involved in some sort of a three-way situation where you were confronting the other woman. Or the other guy, I guess, for that matter.
Yeah, but although I doubt that happens.
Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
No. The other woman, this astronaut diaper woman. She's, that's her official name now, the astronaut diaper woman.
I got a call from, you know, our friend Brian, who's a friend of ours, who's a radio talk show host himself, and he called up and he was just giddy. He said, is this the best story in how long? And I called him back and I said, I think since the vice president shot that guy in the face, I mean, this may be the best thing that's happened in the news since that time. Because it just has everything. It has the least expected person you would ever think would go off the rails, and in such a spectacular way. I mean, this is an astronaut, for God's sakes, fighting an Air Force person over another astronaut.
Yeah.
And it just has everything. It's just beautiful. And the headlines have been great. I don't know if you've been seeing them. Dark Side of the Loon is one headline on the newspapers. I think the New York Post had Lust in Space was their headline. I mean, people are just going for it.
I think it's so odd because we've been conditioned to know that these people are the cream of the crop. And if there's something wrong with them mentally, if they're really off somehow, they will get weeded out in the process because that's what that process is for.
Yep, so, NASA is now seriously looking back and going, how did we miss this? I mean, how could she have been fine, and then boom, just snap like that? Was there a clue somewhere in her past that we should have caught in and weeded her out of the program? But it is really, I mean, it's turned NASA upside down that something like this could happen with one of their best people.
Fantastic. I love that kind of story. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up this morning.
What's great, though, as you said, is the confrontation of hearing that there is another person out there and not just, you know, dealing with the man you know, in this case, not just taking it up with him, but actually driving 1,000 miles to confront the woman, the other woman in person. And then it's, you know, it's, I guess, well, it'll be decided in court what her real intentions were, whether it was just to hurt her, to kidnap her, or to kill her, as she's been charged with attempted murder. But there, I mean, wait till you hear Lisa's story. She was the other woman.
Lisa May told us yesterday after the show, and this is all I'm going to tell. I'm just going to give you a little tease. Dragged out of the chair by her hair. Okay? That's all you get for right now. But later this morning.
It was a little startling.
Well, no kidding.
I bet there are going to be some great tales of girl fights, though. That's why I'm excited about the 8 o'clock hour this morning.
So that's coming up. We've been trying to get a hold of somebody from the Pillow Fighting League that's going on in Canada.
Yeah, we need that, too.
They actually have a league of pillow fighting. And, we need to start our own. We're going to talk to, in quotes, Champagne from that league.
Awesome.
Coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph has bad movie taste all of a sudden. He went right from Mr. Taste to guy that can no longer make fun of me in one fell swoop with Norbit.
I'm going to tell you, this happens with him once in a while. It's like seasonal, perhaps.
Just like one season, he'll pick
like
an awful movie to say he likes?
Every fall or whatever, he all of a sudden something happens to him, and he picks just the worst movie ever and won't stop talking about how great it is and goes and sees it and still thinks it's great.
Yeah.
And then you go, I can never believe this man again.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
And yet he mocks us endlessly about our taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And then he has the nerve to step in here and say he can't wait for Norbit.
Yeah, that doesn't
track
at all.
And our question is, have you seen the trailers? And his question is, have you seen the trailers?
No, his response is, not only have I seen the trailers, I've seen extra clips. It makes me want to see it all the more.
They make me laugh.
So he's bad.
But Norbit, as Kevin pointed out yesterday, is below his line. So how can there be anyone else that we know that wants to go see it?
And I have no line. That's the odd thing.
Kevin went to see Stomp the Yard, and Norbit's
Norbit's not even in the same league as Stomp the Yard. Stomp the Yard may have been the greatest movie of all time.
It's a moral tale, Bean.
In the bad category. I'm also bad. I had a rehearsal for the Grammys. I was a little hungover, and it didn't go well, so I brought in some highlights of that.
Oh, what a shock.
That's what I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. Ozfest is free this year. I don't know if you've heard that. Ozfest is free.
That's amazing.
So we're going to talk. I believe we're going to try and chat it up with Ozzy. That always goes well.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Let's see. And also, we have tickets for you for the K-Rock World Tour 2007, Destination Number 6, which, of course, is that band in Iceland.
Incubus?
Incubus. Yes. So that's coming up this morning. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets as well. And we have Grammy tickets, which, of course, are this Sunday night. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers are playing. And then we also have, we're going to throw in for the winner, also tickets to see the Police as they rehearse for their, I guess, the tour they're going to go on.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So you get to win both of those in the 7 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, Showbiz Beat is next.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. Ralph, good morning. What's going on?
No good can come from Gloria Allred being involved in a court case.
Must be cameras. Sure. Must be cameras.
Of course, she's in the middle of a high-profile court case. This time, the battle between Ryan O'Neal, TV and film star, and his son, Griffin O'Neal, and the odd case of domestic abuse that happened in their joint last weekend. Apparently, Ryan says that his son Griffin was coming at him with a fireplace poker in the living room, and that's why he had to fire some shots off.
He couldn't just leave the house?
Apparently not.
His house, Lisa.
Shots off.
I know, but still, wouldn't you just leave?
Griffin O'Neal is saying that Ryan, his dad, was the guy who beat up on Griffin's 8-month pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Originally, the report was that Griffin was hitting the girl in the altercation. Gloria Allred says that Ryan was not acting in self-defense when the pair were injured. So no one really knows what happened in this room, and I doubt we ever will. But Gloria Allred's there to muddy up the waters.
Yeah,
it's going to be two against one, too. Whatever they say is probably going to go.
Yeah, even if Griffin did beat up his girlfriend, I'm sure that once the tears have dried, she's going to be, oh, I love you. I won't do anything to report you, because that's sometimes how battered women behave.
Yeah.
Did you see her? Do you see how bad her face looks, Ralph?
I did not, no.
Rough. Big.
You mean normally or just, after this, okay.
After the, 8 stitches between her eye and her eyebrow. It looked real bad.
Yeah, Ryan O'Neal's original claim was that Griffin was beating up on his girlfriend and then turned on him, and that's when some shots were fired, and now that's not the story they're giving, so.
Yeah.
Of course, the two have a long history of beating each other up.
Father and son?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan, when Griffin was a teenager, knocked his front teeth out with a right hook, so.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
No love lost between this father and son combo.
No.
Will Smith, for some time, has talked about perhaps entering the political arena when his acting and music career are all said and done.
Right. I'd vote for him.
He may have entered it quicker than we know. Apparently, in Washington, D.C. this week, Will was talking to the Motion Picture Association of America and said that how proud he was that he was recognized by an older couple in Washington who told him that they loved him and what he was doing was great for the country. Will thanked them humbly, and then they said they would definitely vote for him if he decides to run for president, realizing that they thought he was Barack Obama. Maybe Will should run with Barack.
Exciting story.
That's awesome.
The Obama-Smith ticket. Oh, Duane may be unhappy this morning. I know he got to meet his favorite girl of all time, Drew Barrymore.
Well, what could bring him down from that?
Well, she may have a new boyfriend.
Already?
The New York Post says that she's been seen hanging out with Zach Braff from Scrubs.
Wasn't he dating...
Everyone?
Yeah.
Everyone. Mandy Moore. Yeah.
Mandy Moore for a while, right?
Of course, her people are saying they're simply friends, so I'm guessing they're married. And I mentioned yesterday that Justin Timberlake is just having an embarrassment of riches lately when it comes to women. He's been seen hanging out with Jessica Biel.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's been seen hanging out with
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, that's not right.
So we turn to America's paper of record, Elle Girl magazine, to see what America thinks about Justin Timberlake's behavior.
That's the paper of record?
Well, it is if you're a 14-year-old girl.
Right.
Yeah, they Justin fans.
They recently asked Justin Timberlake, they usually asked this audience, what do you think of Justin Timberlake's post-breakup behavior?
Post-breakup behavior?
Yes. 15% of those asked said, it's cool. He should enjoy being single and date lots of girls until he finds the perfect match. 15% of young ladies who read Elle Girl magazine said that.
Okay.
20% said, it's okay, but it's unfair. Because if Cameron did the same thing, she would get a bad reputation. And 54% of those asked responded with, he's being a total man whore.
Is that true?
So there you go. Yes.
You're not making that up?
No. Man whore it is. Sad news, Hugh Grant isn't being invited to Elizabeth Hurley's wedding.
Well, that's not surprising.
Well, the two have remained friends since they split up, and they still have a production company together. Yeah. She's inviting 9 billion people to this wedding that's as big as Ball of Bombay.
Maybe they're not as good of friends as we thought.
But Hugh tells In Touch magazine that he wasn't invited to the wedding, and he won't be attending.
I heard that she and her fiancé agreed to not invite exes, and that's what it is. It's not just Hugh. It's they're not inviting either of their ex-boyfriends and girlfriends to the wedding.
But he's Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I know.
Arun Nayar didn't invite anybody as cool as Hugh Grant. Didn't date anybody as cool as that.
That's true.
So Hugh's going to get a hooker on Sunset and spend the time that way. Apparently people are reacting, I say disappointedly, about Lindsay Lohan's mom's reaction to her daughter's rehab.
Really?
Yeah. According to In Touch magazine, Dina brushes it off when people ask about her and congratulate her for getting help, telling them she's fine, don't worry about her. It's also odd that she didn't visit Lindsay until she was already in rehab for 9 days. Friends of the family say that Dina may be part of the problem. Oh, you think?
Really?
Saying that she's a bigger party girl than her daughter and always encouraged Lindsay to live it up. I guess, yeah. If your daughter is 19 and going and drinking in establishments where it's clearly 21 and over, and you don't stop her, I guess you are sort of encouraging that behavior.
You have your head up your ass.
Yes, she does.
Yesterday I mentioned that Smashing Pumpkins are getting back together, and they're touring in several festivals all over Europe.
Right.
Well, we just learned from Billy Corgan's website on MySpace, his MySpace page, rather, that they have entitled and have a release date for their next studio CD.
Fantastic.
Smashing Pumpkins' new CD, first one in 7 years, will be called Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
And so far, the release is set for sometime in July, possibly July 7th. 7-7-7.
Ah.
7-7.
Will it be good, though, is my question.
I don't know how to answer that.
We don't know.
None of us have heard it.
No.
Well, he lost the ability to write good songs.
How
is it back
you?
Now just because he's going to release them under the name Smashing Pumpkins?
How dare you, you mock
I'm
our
just
bald
asking.
Little friend.
He did write some bad songs as a solo artist. Maybe he just wasn't trying as hard. Who
we
knows?
Still don't know the rest of the lineup, by the way. We know it's him and Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer, but we don't know the rest of the band yet. So
Wolfgang Van Halen, I believe, is playing bass.
I think that's
Van
Halen.
Probably enough.
And in this morning's Daily Variety magazine, we finally have a release date for the next edition of the Indiana Jones movies. Steven Spielberg says that the Thursday before Memorial Day next year, May 22nd, 2008.
Really?
Is the release date set for the next Indiana Jones film.
I'm going down to the Arclight to get in line this morning.
Never mind that they haven't finished the script or started filming yet. He's sticking by his guns.
So
expect to see a very brief Indiana Jones movie sometime in May in 2008.
Like 35 minutes long?
This is all we got. This is all we shot. We think it's pretty good. What do you think? Today's celebrity birthdays, Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte, 66 years old today.
Have a drink.
I'm not your friend, convict. 48 hours. How great was that?
That was good.
Ted Koppel, former NBC News, ABC News anchor over there on Nightline before Jimmy Kimmel had him killed.
I think, God bless Jimmy
Nightline
for that.
Still on, Ralph, just without Ted.
Uh-huh, exactly.
That's what
Where's Ted Koppel? That's what I'm saying. 67 years old today. Speaking of Indiana Jones, the guy who composed the theme for that movie and Star Wars and many others, including Jaws, John Williams, is 75 years old today. Gary Coleman from Different Strokes turns 39. And our pal Seth Green, of course, from the Austin Powers movies, his own show, Robot Chicken, the Family Guy, guy who writes and creates comic books, does everything. 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am I'm the announcer for the Grammys again. And,
sorry.
And I'm bad, and I know I'm bad. I have no illusions about my, you know, command of the English language. It fails me on quite a regular basis.
Why do you suppose it is they keep calling you back? Because clearly somebody's happy with the job you're doing.
Well, I don't know. I really don't. At the end of this rehearsal, I went out to the woman who was in charge, and I said, I got to tell you, I feel like I do the same read every time. Every time I come in here with great intentions, I think I'm going to change it up. I'm going to make it all different. I'm going to be good this once. And I hate everything I do, and it just all blows as far as I'm concerned. But this particular time, this past weekend, as you know, I was lucky enough to go to the Super Bowl. We were in Miami. I went Thursday night and came back Monday night. And I drank everything there was to drink in Miami during that time.
That's how you knew it was time to leave, is because Florida was dry.
Right. So Monday night, I get home, and then Tuesday, during work here, I'm just thinking to myself, oh, the bed's going to be so nice. That's going to feel so good. Oh, I can't wait to go to bed. I'm so tired. I'm so hungover. I just need sleep. On the way home, the cell phone rings, and it's the people from the Grammys, and I have a rehearsal in 2 hours.
Oh.
Because the Grammys are this Sunday. Now, in all fairness, I knew the Grammys were this Sunday, and I knew that it was probably coming up very soon, but I hadn't been contacted yet about it, so I thought I'd get a good Tuesday afternoon of sleep.
Sure.
I'll be back on my game and be my normal bad self again any day. But so I had to go to the rehearsal, and, it didn't go well. They write a script out for you, so you know what you're supposed to say. You don't have to do it, you know, by memory. Mm-hmm. You don't do it like we do this show, where we think about certain things and then we just ad-lib our way through them. This is a piece of paper in front of your face with words typed on it that you can read.
That seems like it would help.
It seems like it would be easier, right?
But it does,
I mean, I do run into most of my trouble when I'm ad-libbing. I can't do that, but turns out I can't read either. So Tuesday I get there and I'm so hungover and I'm just thinking to myself, this is going to be bad, and they're going to change halfway through this particular rehearsal. They're going to change and go with somebody who's A, a professional, B, not hungover, and C, a professional and not hungover.
How long are these rehearsals?
I don't know, 4 or 5 hours.
Oh, man.
Dude. Yeah.
And you were feeling bad starting. Imagine how you were feeling ending.
I think I'm permanently damaged by alcohol, because even when I'm not drunk now, I sound drunk.
This is true.
About half the time. You can compare when I'm smashed out of my mind and like maybe 3 days later, and about 50% of the time it's the same.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary. So this was this is the beginning, and I just want you to hear a little bit of how drunk I sound as I say this.
Okay, so do the whole thing faster?
Okay. You totally do.
Okay, so do the whole thing faster? Okay. Now, I can't read, so there were a whole bunch of mistakes in this particular rehearsal.
John Legend and John Mayer. Gnarls Barkley performs one of the year's Record of the Year nominations.
So you know, speed this up a little bit as if I actually pre-read this once before we record.
And by the way, I'm glad we heard that because people have to remember this isn't you by yourself sitting in the
room. No.
I mean, there's a dozen people standing around waiting to get this done.
And they're all professionals. I mean, these are the kind of people that just bang this stuff out in like a half an hour and they edit it all together and they go home and they're done, you know, in 45 minutes. And here I am holding everything up forever.
So are they playing the music while you're reading?
Sometimes,
because they're
going
to record it all together. Because it sounds so sad when you screw up halfway and the music stops.
No, I know.
You just see everyone hanging there.
No, that's what happens. That's exactly what happens.
Oh, God.
Most of it is, not only is there music playing, but there's a little TV screen and you can see the, you know, like the winner packages, the nominees are, and then it shows so-and-so singing and you kind of have to sync up what you're saying with the video. Well, I can't even read without that option.
And that's so distracting, with the TV.
Oh, no, you got to keep up. Well, you know, you were a second late. Hey, that's pretty good for me. They also, they like the excited read. They like the big announcer voice.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe I do a very poor one. I know there's a lot of people out there that can just hype it up and just make it sound great with all the energy in their voice. And I try. God knows I try. I just can't do it. I also can't pronounce certain people's names. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Raye. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Raye. Wow. An unforgettable performance by Corinne Bale-Raye. Boy, I sure can't say her name. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bale-Raye. What's her name, Bean?
What is her name?
Corinne Ray Bailey.
Yes, Corinne Ray Bailey. And
she's
by the way,
who sings that Put Your Records On song?
She's super talented. She's
very, very popular. Nominated for a bunch of Grammys this year.
Yeah. And again, I want to remind you, it's written down in front of me. I'm not trying to remember her name. It's right there in black and white.
That's a great one.
So then I get stuck in a rut, and I'm trying to say a once-in-a-lifetime performance. And for some reason, it doesn't come out right. I can't figure out how to say it or why it's coming out wrong. I talk out loud to them to try and figure it out. And as always, great Grammy moments that bring artists together for once-in-a-lifetime performance.
Shouldn't that be for once-in-a-lifetime performances? Or it should be for a once-in-a-lifetime performance, either way.
You can tell I'm still drunk.
So you have to do what I do and just go zzz at the end.
Yeah.
Right. 60.
Well, I should have.
For a lifetime performance. Sorry.
And as always, great Grammy moments that bring artists together for once-in-a-lifetime performance.
Once-in-a-lifetime performances.
Okay, now at this point...
Now you're writing it down.
I'm writing down an S. That's it. After the word performance. I can't be counted on to remember performances, so I get a pencil from the guys and I write down an S. And by the way, now I'm starting to feel really bad. You can hear me say sorry. Okay, I'm sorry.
Do you have that flop sweat thing going?
Yes.
Now?
Oh, for God's sake.
I hate
sake.
That.
People are looking at their watches in the control room.
Yep. And as always...
Yeah, if we say a once-in-a-lifetime performance, it sounds like it's one special deal. Okay.
And as always, great Grammy moments that bring artists together for what? Damn it. Okay, so I had trouble with that. I went over and over.
Now it's a mental block.
Got a little dry mouth going now, too.
Now it's a mental block, and no matter what I do, I can't say it. Just easy, Gene. I can't get through it. But I finally do after about a half an hour.
Oh.
I get through the once-in-a-lifetime performance line, and I add an S to it brilliantly, I think. And then listen to how much further I go after that. And, as always, great Grammy moments that bring artists together for a once-in-a-lifetime performance with Carrie Underwood and Riscoll Flatts.
Oh. I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again.
Both names. Both names wrong.
Riscoll Flatts and Carrie Underwood.
I was so focused on performances because that's a tough word to remember.
And you didn't put the S on.
No, but I did say for a once-in-a-lifetime performance.
Right.
So at least it made sense that one time. But within 1 second after actually nailing it, I was wrong again.
And what's so funny is it's not like Kevin is reading a foreign language phonetically here. These are all words and artists he's heard of.
Yeah.
He knows Carrie Underwood's name. He knows Riscoll Flatts' name. It's just for some reason under the white hot spotlight,
look,
you crack.
I know I'm bad, but when you're hungover, it's way worse. Your head is just pounding, and you're trying to concentrate. And now it gets to be worse and worse because now, like I said, you start feeling so bad because all these professionals are out there, you know. And every once in a while, a sponsor would walk in, and I'd have to read a commercial for them for their own sponsorship.
Geez.
And now the pressure's getting more and more. The room's filling up. Hey, come in here. You got to see this. You know, that kind of stuff. So here's a little montage of a few other problems that I may have had. Ludicrous.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Are we starting at the top? 8800?
Remember, until 9:59 p.m. Eastern Time, you can still vote and decide which of three...
Keep going or start. Go back and start over.
The 49th Annual Grammy Awards will continue... And coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige and a once-of-a-lifetime performance.
No.
To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige and a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance.
Sorry, people.
I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one.
Now, I don't know exactly how you screw up the word one.
Yeah, that's an impossible word to mispronounce.
It's a one-syllable word. You can't really... I mean, did I say oni? I don't remember, but... I don't know how you screw up on the word one.
Well... I don't care if you don't really care who's even on the Grammys or who's performing. You have to tune in now Sunday night just to see if Kevin makes it through the broadcast.
Oh, I'm not going to be hung over by fantastic. Sunday. Sunday I'll be in prime shape.
Please There's drink sure. on Friday, please.
No worries. Oh, like I won't. My man Ralph, he does the movie beat here on K-Rock along with the showbiz beat. He tells you what the new movies are on Fridays. And very opinionated, got very strong feelings on certain movies and very strong feelings on other movies. And I'm the kind of guy who I like everything. I have no standards. Doesn't have to be good if I can get a laugh or two.
Yep.
I'm fine with that. I kind of like everything. And
you're not judgmental.
Well, I can't be. Look at my taste, right? I mean, there's no way I could judge other people on movies.
You can't stand in line for the Stomp the Yard Scary Movie 4 double feature and then look down at anybody else, right?
And say, what do you see? Ralph, however, is at times condescending about other people's movie choices.
Ralph
mine
hates
in
the
particular.
People.
Mine in particular.
Well, everyone is or yours.
That's true. But everyone isn't looking forward to Norbit.
That's true.
Now that is, there's a major glitch there. Something happened where your mind, like a computer, you know, kind of shut down and maybe it powered back up without a certain chip. Without
like
a certain,
Crazy Astronaut Woman. She was fine and then something happened.
Snapped.
Yep.
Norbit?
Yeah, no one's more surprised than I am, trust me.
Norbit, though.
Ralph, are you... Because I was thinking about this yesterday, because it troubles me as well. Are you in Norbit? Is that what it is? Is it you got a part in Norbit?
Let me read you a quick email after we mentioned this yesterday from Matt, okay. Which I think sums things up.
All right.
Dear Ralph, Kevin, and Bean, I first saw the commercial for Norbit and thought, wow, that looks awful. Then I saw more commercials. I have to be honest, they were starting to grow on me a little. Later, I mentioned to a friend of mine that Norbit actually looked a little funny, and he agreed. But I constantly heard Kevin and Bean mocking it, you too, Ralph, and I felt like a complete retard. But it still looked a little funny to me. I'll admit that many of the latest comedies from Eddie Murphy have been colossally terrible. The Adventures of Pluto Nash, Daddy Daycare, Haunted Mansion, name a few, but this one just seems different. Then suddenly Ralph decided to change his tune. Perhaps we're not drawn to the movie by the comedy, but by the siren-like Thandie Newton, the love interest in the film. Ah, who am I kidding? I'm giggling at the, but I ain't mad at him, hey, line.
Oh, we'll get to that one.
Perhaps Kevin would be more interested if the movie contained extreme flatulence, and Bean's ears would perk up if there were a large presence of penises.
Yeah, how
regards,
about
Matt?
How about Matt, you don't look down your nose at anyone else's taste if you like Norbit. How about
I
that?
I think Matt had the same phenomenon happen to him as happened to me, is that the more we saw clips from this movie, the more we said, that seems a little funny.
Okay, here's a clip.
Excuse me, ma'am? We have a 300-pound weight limit.
I don't weigh no damn 300 pounds. I weigh 165. How you doing?
How you doing?
See,
that is
he's,
not funny.
See, because Eddie Murphy has the fat suit on, and he probably weighs 400 with the fat suit. But
I love Eddie Murphy in the fat suit.
Here's something that TMZ wrote.
Yes.
Eddie Murphy is the odds-on favorite to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor, but now some Oscar voters might be changing their ballots because of Murphy's ridiculous-looking new comedy, Norbit. An Oscar consultant said, every time I pass that Norbit billboard, it makes me sick.
Well, that's a little extreme.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme the other way.
I'm not saying he should get another Oscar for Norbit. I'm just saying it won't affect his voting chances. I'm just saying the movie looks a little funny.
Eddie Murphy plays all of the roles, right? This is one of those where he's...
Well, like Nutty Professor when the family was around the table and there was the dad and the mom and him and the cousin and the
right.
brother and stuff.
And they're all him.
He's famous for doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Did you go see the Nutty Professor movies?
Yes.
And they were good?
I liked them. I thought they were okay. funny, especially the first one.
They were pretty. The first one was pretty funny.
Hercules!
The mom, I like that. That was funny. Was
so, big Norbit, big fat Eddie Murphy gets in the car and is very upset at little skinny Eddie.
Damn it, Norbit, how many times I got to tell you when you drive my car, don't adjust my seat?
I haven't touched your seat.
Then why is it up so damn far?
It looks like it's back as far as it goes, Miss Fuchsia.
No, you move that I can tell. Because look, when I inhale, my chest make the horn honk. Listen. You see that? That ain't right.
I hear it.
Mm-hmm, that scientifically proved that you was adjusting my seat.
What's the best part?
That's that science.
Both of those voices, though, are unlistenable.
No, his character, the skinny one, is basically the character from Bowfinger, which I love that character. The sort of nerdy, retarded.
Sounds like the character from funny. Office Space. That's what it sounds like.
Kind of like that because that's science. Sure, if you're going to cut out all the funny parts, yeah, it's going to sound bad.
It's funny when you do it. Not really funny when
Eddie Murphy does it.
Not so much.
All right, here's another clip.
You're too damn skinny. Look at you. Most men like a woman that got little, hey, you ain't got nothing. You're just skin and bones, just sitting in a chair, all bones and skin. Oh, I feel sorry for you.
I don't get it, Ralph. I
don't care.
No,
it
I know.
It's funny to me.
Yeah, National Treasure looked funny to you.
Actually, it did, and it wasn't a comedy.
Horrible.
Yes, it was.
It was an unintentional comedy.
This guy's
comedy.
Got a track record. I mean, Eddie Murphy can be funny in these types of roles, and this one just tickles me.
But the problem with his track record is that he also has a track record of being awful
Absolutely.
In the same kinds of movies.
Absolutely.
You can never tell which one is coming.
Unlike Rob Schneider.
You can't look down at me ever again.
Why can't I?
Rob Schneider's fine. I'm
no,
perfectly
it's not.
Proud of Rob Schneider.
You have horrible movie taste.
I like Norbit.
Boom,
you're out.
This doesn't remove your horrible taste.
No, I think it does.
No, it doesn't
you're
remove my horrible taste.
Field.
You come down to my level. Don't look down at me. You're looking straight at me, not down at me. You're looking straight at me. Maybe you're looking up at me with Norbit. Maybe. Okay. Last clip.
My Norbit is always telling me it's two kind of women. Big old good ones and good old big ones.
I don't.
I can't keep Norbit off me. He's the biggest freak you ever want to meet. You want it all the time. Just boom, bam, boom, boom, boom. But I ain't mad at him. Hey. Oh.
Come on. That's funny.
That line is kind of funny.
Oh, so if I get one good laugh at
that
it,
line.
Doesn't that make it a good movie, Kevin?
Not in your mind, no. In my mind, yes, but not in yours. You've
well,
mocked me
aren't
endlessly
you speaking
for
with
that.
Your mind in this particular
you
case?
You have mocked me endlessly for saying, if I get a laugh or two, I'm good with it.
And you've always said that, so now you're mocking me for saying what you said.
Because of your past record for looking down at me for saying that. Now the same words are coming out of your mouth.
I'm
How
get,
about
I'm
that?
I'm going to get Gloria Allred on
one
the
or
case.
Yeah.
Oh, dude,
someone's
going to
be sued. There's no cameras, dude. She would not be the least bit interested.
You know, I was thinking about Incubus. They are one of the many bands that has really just been vaulted into superstardom, partly because they played Ozfest. I mean, Ozfest, which is coming back starting in Los Angeles July the 7th, is the show that System of a Down broke out of, and Linkin Park, Queens of the Stone Age. I mean, a lot of groups go on to superstardom from Ozfest. And Ozfest is very much in the news this week because of a press conference Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne had about how they're doing things different this year when the tour kicks off. And we thought, wow, this is big news. Let's find out what's up with Ozzy himself on the line on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Ozzy, welcome back to K-Rock.
Hello.
Hey, Oz.
Hello.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you today?
Hello.
Can you hear us, Ozzy? Are you,
can
you hearing
hear
us all right?
On this phone, Sharon. What? Oh, I have to turn it around. Hello?
There you go.
There
Hi,
you
Ozzy.
Go.
Hello, you.
Hey, we're good. We saw yesterday the press release that Ozfest this year is going to be completely free to the fans.
Oh, that's great. I can't wait to go then. Won't charge me anything.
Well, you're performing. I mean, your band is playing at Ozfest, but you're not going to charge the people who want to come see you a ticket price this year.
But I chose you to see me.
No, that's the announcement.
That's madness.
Well, no, you and...
How am I making any money that way?
Well, according to Sharon, who made...
Sharon, I can make any money that way.
She's saying...
I can't give it away for free.
She's saying sponsorships, that there's going to be sponsors and
my
they'll...
My sponsor's going to be there.
No, not your sponsor.
Off the wagon again.
No.
Well, drinking cough syrup.
He may be there, but that's
sterno.
Not...
Sterno.
This is the... This is
nail polish remover.
You've been drinking all of that?
And Windex.
Ouch.
My colon's very shiny.
Oh, man.
Yeah, sure.
That's true. Yeah. You need a team of sponsors, the way it sounds. Anyway, the sponsors are going to be paying for all of the costs, and the bands apparently are not going to be getting paid, but they can have some of the merchandise.
And... Oh, we should get some great bands then if we're not paying anyone.
Well,
yeah, I wonder what Hinder's doing.
Are you just hearing about this for the first time, Ozzy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's talking about it.
Huh.
He's talking about he called me up and got all the craziness about shows.
Right, but you were at the press conference this week when it was announced. I mean, you should have already known about this. In fact, your quote was, you're not one of those rock and rollers that go, they're privileged to see me. I'm privileged to see them because without them, this is why we're doing it for free. Without them, none of us have got a chance. That was your quote from the press conference.
I think I'd remember something like that.
Well, you said it.
I said what? No, they are privileged to see me.
No, that's not what you said. You said they're not privileged to you. You're...
No, that's wrong.
So you said it backwards.
Yeah, and they're privileged to see me.
Okay.
Because I'm so close to death. It may be the only time you see me.
Right.
Because the next time you see me, I'll be dead.
But you're still... But the tickets are going to be free. That part...
Sure, would you pay to see a dead man?
No, I'm not saying after you're dead.
If you want to be dead, you come for free to see me, the dead.
I'm not saying after you're dead. I'm saying that for this year's Ozfest, tickets are still free, right?
I might be dead by this year's Ozfest. That's why we're not charging anything. Just put me in a box and people walk by. Says, dead Ozzy. Sure, I might be dead. Hold on a second.
Okay.
No, I'm not dead yet.
Not dead. Okay.
Right now, Thursday morning, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good news if you're a big fan of The Departed.
Yes.
Like I am.
Yeah. Loved.
Apparently, Mark Wahlberg has confirmed reports he's been approached to star in a sequel to the great crime thriller and Oscar contender, The Departed. Apparently, the film's writer, William Monahan, has already started work on a script for the sequel, which will focus on the rogue police officer played by Wahlberg, the state trooper played by Wahlberg, largely because everyone else in the movie's dead. So there's not a lot of other characters to spin off from.
I was thinking, I guess he's the only one who could be in the sequel, right?
They told me they wanted to try to do it, and I said, well, I enjoyed playing the character, Wahlberg said. They're talking about bringing in Robert De Niro to play a senator or congressman.
No kidding.
You know, the corruption obviously goes deeper and rises higher up in the ranks, reaching up to the political chain, so it'll be fun. Now, the interesting part is, he said, if it's a success, they're going to do a prequel and make a trilogy out of the story and bring everyone back from the original film, The Departed, to do their stories before the characters got to where they were, where the film picked up. So,
huh.
Is Scorsese in? Is he on board?
Has not said yet whether Scorsese has signed on or not, but I can only assume, given the success of the first one, he'd like to be involved at least in the prequel, if not in the sequel.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Misha Barton has announced she's ended her relationship with musician Cisco Adler after nude photos of him appeared on the internet.
Him.
Star of the OC was reportedly shocked when pictures of her boyfriend turned up amongst Paris Hilton's possessions when the contents of her storage locker were posted online at parisexposed.com.
Uh-oh.
According to Us Weekly magazine, the pair split up just soon after nude shots of Adler surfaced on the website with him and his giant dangling testicles.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. Balls hang low.
Is it a good way to describe it? They're giant dangling testicles. How else could you describe it?
They are. Yeah. It's shocking.
You've all seen them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
That's so
they're on his knees, Lisa.
They look like two racquetballs in a dress sock, basically, is what they look like. Adler, by the way, was once engaged to Rod Stewart's daughter, Kimberly. But, they decided not to get married when he couldn't find a tuxedo with pants large enough to fit his enormous dangling testicles.
So you understand they're very huge, Lisa. Watch.
These are not small balls.
I'm going to get that.
That's what we're trying to say. And good news for those of us who can't wait to see the outcome of this whole Anna Nicole Smith thing. She has been ordered to submit her baby daughter's DNA to a test
by February 21st in an effort to finally end the dispute over who the baby's father is.
Finally.
California judge overseeing the paternity battle between Smith and her ex-boyfriend Larry Burkhead demanded that the model actress must comply with the new court deadline during a hearing yesterday. Another judge had temporarily blocked the order because of what was going on in the Bahamas. Authorities claimed that the person sent to take the DNA in the Bahamas didn't have a work permit to work there, and so the test would have been invalid, blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Anyway, this California judge has laid down the law, and is yet to see whether Smith will comply or not, but that's the deadline. February 21st, she has to give some baby DNA over to give it tested, so we'll have to wait and see.
I know nothing about nothing.
That's true. So far, the only thing doctors can confirm is that the father of the baby has enormous dangling testicles. Something you can find out by DNA.
They're playing Oz test, by the way.
Yes. Yes, they are. Today's happy birthdays go to Nick Nolte. Great, great actor who's crazy. Just out of his mind. Just a big nut loaf.
What was the deal, Ralph? We talked some years back about his 60 Minutes profile. What kind of, was he the guy who was injecting himself, giving himself like 40 shots a day to try to live forever?
Taking all kinds of vitamins and amino acids, had an entire laboratory in his home.
Didn't they do a thing on 60 Minutes about it?
Bean just said that.
Oh, he said 60 Minutes. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, sorry. Well, we're doing a show over here.
Okay.
I saw a thing on him. I think it was 60 Minutes.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
It was. Something
else. But on 60 Minutes, though, I know they did a story.
They did.
Yeah,
no.
I saw that. Yeah.
Let's go get that.
He's 66 years old today. It was great because they showed him shooting up B12, and he takes hundreds and hundreds of vitamin pills every day. And while he was talking to, I think it was Ed Bradley, he's just chain smoking.
Yep. Trying to live forever while smoking.
Shouldn't you quit smoking?
Yeah, I suppose so, but, you know, I take a lot of stuff to counteract that. Got a drink.
If you saw his mugshot, maybe the best celebrity mugshot of all time, the pills aren't working.
No.
Vince Neil, singer from Motley Crue, 46 years old today. Seth Green, our pal from Austin Powers and his own show, Robot Chicken, and from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What a career this guy's had.
Yeah.
In just a couple years. He's also, of course, on The Family Guy, 33 years old today. Gary Coleman from Different Strokes. What a career this guy has had.
I know how it is. We've all done bad things, baby. We all have those guilty feelings in our hearts. So you're going to spread those little legs.
Oh,
that's good.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
First,
thank
we're going to check for holes. See
what?
Fine. Wash it and scrub it and make it clean.
No.
Then we're going to get nice.
Okay, can't hear any more of that.
I think I'm going to throw up.
I think we shouldn't play any of that. Now that I listen to it.
That's,
oh, my God.
That is really Gary Coleman, and it really was a phone sex line.
And who's Gary Coleman to say anyone has little legs, by the way?
Yeah.
How dare you? Don't choo-choo me, Mr. Gary Coleman. You're 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We found something in Canada that we think we need to bring to America, and it's the Pillow Fight League.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yay!
It's an actual league of pillow fighters, and we have Champagne on the phone. Good morning, Champagne.
Hi. How are you?
We are good. You're the active current Pillow Fight League world champion?
I sure am.
Fantastic. And you guys, your slogan is Fight Like a Girl of the PFL, which you can imagine we are just a Twitter with thinking that you might be coming to California. You guys are getting ready to start a big world tour, right?
We are starting a tour starting in April, but I think it might be just the east side for right now, the east coast.
Boo.
Okay,
all right.
Oh,
how long?
Yeah,
Champagne, how long has the PFL, the Pillow Fighting League, been in existence?
Well, I joined at the end of February, so it's for sure was January 2006.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
January 2006. Okay, so we just started. All right.
What a tradition. So how did it get started?
Well, actually, I am also a burlesque dancer, and I had a backing band for our troupe and called the Tijuana Bibles, and the drummer is actually our commissioner of the Pillow Fight League. And so 2004, we had it as our New Year's Eve finale for the night.
That's a hell of a New Year's Eve party right there.
Yeah.
2004, 2005, it was our finale. In 2005, we got rushed by the audience who wanted to pillow fight. And that's when the commissioner said, we got to make this real. So within a month, we had, I guess I was the fifth girl to regularly come to practices, and we started the league. We just would come show up once a week and fight.
You take on Trashley, Betty Clocker is there, Sister Resister, Boozy Susie, maybe my favorite, I don't know. But you've got a whole league of characters.
That's a great name.
And you have official Pillow Fight League rules, right?
There are rules. Well, it's women fighter only.
Only women, good. Yeah. I like it.
We have a 5-minute time limit, and you can win by, like, pinfall, surrender, or the referee stoppage.
Surrender? What, do you have to tap out?
Tap out,
in pillow fighting?
Anything smothered?
Anything and everything is allowed as long as a pillow is involved. So you can punch through the pillow, you can smother, you can knee, you can do anything as it is legal.
Oh, my gosh.
That doesn't sound sexy.
It's a little more brutal than I thought.
Yeah, we just, you know, of course, we picture girls in, you know, lingerie and panties just hitting each other playfully with a pillow. But you're talking about actual, you know, WWE combat here.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with, like, lingerie and giggling.
Well, then you're going the wrong direction, Champagne. Number 5 is no eye gouging, biting, scratching, hair pulling, or low blows.
Well, yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think that's
number
right.
7, loading a pillow with a foreign object such as a brick is strictly forbidden.
Did someone do that?
Well, no, but we don't even get to touch before a live event. We don't even see the pillows. They're brought out. We wouldn't even be able to have a chance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone get hurt in these matches?
Yes, actually, like, well, not in a while, thank God, but there's been 2 dislocated shoulders, a tooth went through a lip. I had bruised kidneys by somebody rugby tackling me, basically.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, we pictured something entirely different when we heard Pillow Fight League.
And I'm sure you hear that a lot.
I have, but the thing is when people have come, they've had, like, a different idea of what it is. But when they walk away, they are so amazed and glad for, like, what it actually is. Like, they walk away, and we have so many fans that come back and come back and come back because of it.
Okay, I know that there are people from that work at Playboy who listen to this show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need our own league, and it needs to go in that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's got to be the skimpy clothing. There can't be any rough play.
Yeah, well, we don't want any of the pretty girls to get hurt.
Right.
If you want to start your own league, that's fine. It just won't be part of our league.
That's fine.
Sure, I understand.
There's room for both of us. It's
She's
okay.
She's your league.
No, I know. It's all right.
Champagne is on the line with the Pillow Fight League that we're talking about, and their website is gopfl.com if you want to check it out. But I have to ask, I know that you are, I read from your bio info that you're athletic, not only in a band, I guess you've been playing soccer for years and years and years. What's the special thrill you get from participating in pillow fights, Champagne?
Well, I'm competitive, and when I first came to it and I just kept winning and winning and winning, I was just, it just kind of, the competitiveness in me came out. But then also there's actually, like, you can strategize to how to beat a certain type of fighter. I don't know. I just, and now I'm just in it, and I enjoy it.
Can
I have fun.
Can you, if you get a hold of their pillow, can you just hold on to it? Because that's usually what happens in a pillow fight.
You have a 3-second count because it got a bit out of control, and so it ended up being kind of tug of war-ish.
Right.
And nobody wanted to let go. So there'd be like a 3-second count.
Are you allowed to take the other girl's top off?
No, but I did once receive a wedgie, which I was not impressed with.
Nice. Nice.
You know, it does seem like, you know, you mentioned you can do anything as long as you do with the pillow, so you could, you could barrel house them or something like that with the pillow, knock them on the ground, smother them, you mentioned all that. Why couldn't you use the pillow to shimmy their clothes off? I mean, is that expressly forbidden?
Well, for us, that's not what we want to pin, and we want to win. We want to pin them to the ground and win. So it might just waste time and energy.
Oh. Stacey, Champagne, you couldn't be more wrong on this, sweetheart. You couldn't be more missing the point of what the kids want.
I knew that this wasn't what we thought it was when I was reading through Champagne's information, her statistics and stuff, and her favorite things to do are drinking, smoking, and cussing.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fluffy, does
that's
it?
That's not going to be a pillow fight like I'm looking forward to. So this is like the WWE, pretty much, in Canada, with women and pillows.
Well, I wouldn't say WWE, but it's a new
UFC.
It's something. It's something.
It is serious. And by the way, go to the website. Go to the gopfl.com and check out the girls, because you'll see Champagne and you're picturing, you know, a big burly truck driver. But no, she actually, you know, you're the kind of girl who could clean up nice. You're young and petite and thin. And
what are you trying to say?
I'm saying you look great, yet here you are, you know, this tough chick. It's a funny contrast.
Well, I do burlesque and I do a lot of modeling. It's whatever. This is my tomboy side.
Trashley doesn't do any of that, does she? Because she's not hot at all.
Trashley.
You know what I'm saying?
I love Trashley.
Do you guys, we meet up what we thought was a new sport here in Southern California, which is drink boxing.
Pardon me?
We made up drink boxing. So we're going to have a boxing match between two of the guys on our show. And in between rounds, they have to do shots.
Oh, God.
So I'm just bringing that up for the reason of maybe you could introduce drinking into your pillow fight league.
Nope. We have before our main events, it's dry. No drinking. Not allowed.
They're serious athletes, Kevin. Wow. Aren't you getting that?
I'm not. I'm missing the whole point.
They're going to have drug testing soon.
I know. It would be a lot of fun, though. I do.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Well, Champagne, just so you know, we're grateful for you to take the time to come on, but you've been a real disappointment to us. I just want to make sure you understand that we're not happy with the direction this conversation has gone, but we will encourage people to check out the website, gopfl.com, and if you do find yourself coming to Southern California, please let us know, because we definitely want to come down and check it out.
Will do.
Thank you, Champagne.
All right. Thank you, Champagne. Bye. As you've heard by now, the Grammys are this Sunday on CBS. Promises to be a great show, although, as usual, again this year, not a tremendous amount of K-Rock music will be represented during the show. But Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be performing. Gnarls Barkley, of course, nominated for a bunch of Grammys. They're going to be performing. And I guess, Kevin, as the announcer of the Grammys, you are the guy bringing on the Police for the first performance of their reunion tour, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Police. That's going to be me. Really weird to say that after all these years. But they're also going on a tour, and we're going to give you tickets for a private rehearsal for them, as well as the Grammy tickets if you win this contest.
Wow.
So if you're a Police fan in particular, this is a fantastic prize for you to win at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, the last time the Police, Stewart and Andy and Sting played together was in 2002 when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a lot of people thought at that time, yeah, they're getting back together. They're definitely going to go out on a tour. And that didn't happen. Here we are 5 years later. It's finally going to happen. So if you're a Police fan, I think you'll like our new game, which we like to call I Smell Bacon.
Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Can you name the policeman? What is that smell? Oh, I smell bacon! What is that smell? Oh, I said I smell bacon! What is that smell?
I can just see him recording that. He's so excited.
Okay, Sing is on fire lately.
These are not real cops. It's all fiction-based. It's TV shows, movies, whatever.
Okay.
And it all involves policemen or a police show in some way.
So we're going to ask a question, and you're going to be asked to name either the show or the cop, depending on how the question is phrased. And then if you're right, you will go into the drawing to find out who wins tickets to not only to see the Grammys in person Sunday, but also the Police rehearsal and press conference, which is going to be held, I think, the next day. So we'll start with Robert in West L.A. Robert, are you ready to see if you can name that bacon?
Smell bacon?
Yeah,
whatever it's called.
I'll tell you what it's called.
Oh, I smell bacon!
That's what it's called. All right, here's your question. Robert? Jack Lord played a tropical cop on this classic TV show that also gave black dudes a new nickname for the police.
Hawaii 50.
Boom. Right into the drawing. Nicely done.
Good job.
You win. You're in the drawing. All right. Let's move on to Doug in Redondo. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you. You ready to play?
I smell bacon!
Here's your question. Over 12 years, this New York TV cop had several partners, including Bobby Simone, John Clark, and, on occasion, Officer Gruden. Looking for a fictional TV cop in this one.
He was on 12 years, Doug, giving you plenty of time to learn his name.
Need an answer.
Oh, we were looking for Detective Andy Sipowicz from TV's NYPD Blue. Sorry about that, Doug.
I was blanking, too. I couldn't think of it.
All right. Let's move along to Maria in Covina. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Did you know that last one?
No, I didn't.
No. All right. Well, you may have a harder time with this one, depending on your age. But welcome to...
Oh, I smell bacon!
Okay. Your question is, Johnny Depp got his big break in this TV show about cops going undercover in high schools. Freaking narcs.
jeez. Is it 21 Jump Street?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Hold on. Fantastic. We're going to put you into the drawing as well. You know, we haven't mentioned, and maybe we should have by this point, is that we do have two pair of tickets.
Oh, good deal.
For
okay.
For the Grammys and for the police rehearsal. So we're going to be able to pick two winners, not just one.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah in Los Angeles. Good morning, Isaiah.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Hi, Isaiah.
All right. Here's your question. Oscar nominee Forrest Whitaker was recently a big part of this gritty cable TV show.
Oh, man.
And man, was he good.
Awesome.
Yeah, he sure was.
Internal Affairs, going after...
Very popular cable cop show. Highly acclaimed.
Had
a lot of awards.
Had the star in our studio.
Show you've heard of.
Gritty.
Isaiah. We're looking for the Shield.
The Shield. Come on, Detective Vic Mackey. Come on, dude. Come on. All right, let's go to Scott in Bell Canyon. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Oh, I smell bacon.
Welcome to the game. Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson recently teamed up in the big screen version of this 70s cop show about two groovy cops and their bitchin' Gran Torino.
That would be,
Come on!
I know. Just give me 1 second. I'm just processing it. It's early.
Okay, process.
And by that he means Google.
No, not at all.
All right, you got about 5 seconds. Go.
That was,
Hit TV show in the 70s, big screen, big movie.
Just say it one more time for me, please.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, too much time. Starsky and Hutch.
He hung up. He was so disgusted with himself.
He should have. That's the exact thing he should have done.
So far, Robert and Maria have won tickets, unless somebody else gets on board, in which case we'll do a drawing. We got Julie and La Cunada on the line. Are you ready to smell some bacon with us here, Julie?
Absolutely.
All right, here's your question. Don Johnson was partnered with a black guy in Miami Vice, then moved on to Mexican Cheech Marin in this San Francisco-based TV cop show. Name of a TV cop show.
Don Johnson.
San Francisco.
On for a number of years in the 80s.
Cheech.
Maybe even 90s. I don't even remember exactly 90s. When it was on, but it was on for a long time and it was popular.
Gonna need an answer.
Gonna need an answer. We tried, baby doll. We tried, but you didn't say Nash Bridges, which is what we wanted to hear.
Nash Bridges, sorry.
All
right, let's do one more. Let's try to get one more, because otherwise, what's our drawing? We have two winners.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no drawing involved. Lauren, Anaheim Hills, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your question?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try and find the easiest one I can.
Okay. Right.
Whether in Las Vegas, Miami, or
CSI.
Or New York, CSI stands for what?
Crime scene investigation.
There you go.
Yes!
Nicely done.
Okay.
All right.
Wow, a little jump in the gun there a bit.
Smell bacon!
All right, we have three people. We have Lauren, we have Maria, and we have Robert.
So, shall we do two drawings for two winners? Shall we do it that way?
Yeah, let's
do that.
Or
should we do one drawing for the person who doesn't win?
No, I just drew two names. I drew two names.
One drawing for the loser.
It is Maria and Lauren.
All right. Maria, congratulations.
Woohoo! Thanks.
Lauren, congratulations. You both win. You are both going to the Grammys and to see the police in their rehearsal.
Oh, fantastic!
And thank you very much for playing our new game, I Smell Bacon.
Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Can you name the policeman? What is that smell? Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Oh, I said I smell bacon. What is that smell?
This doesn't happen very often, but we do have employees here at K-Rock from time to time that are fascinated by whatever band or guest.
Mm-hmm.
And they almost never show up for any, but something will come along. It'll catch their attention and they'll say, I have to be there. I must be there for that. And our former intern, Kara, who's now a phone op here at K-Rock, is obsessed with Fall Out Boy.
No
way.
Hi,
guys.
Hi, Kara. Hey, Kara. I didn't know that you, you're not an intern anymore. Now you actually work for the station? You're actually answering phones now?
Yeah, I make a whole $6.75 an hour. I love it, though. It's awesome.
Oh, don't say that. We don't pay Dave that much.
I'm just kidding. I work full-time, full benefits. It's awesome.
You know, very rarely do our Kevin Abid interns go on to actual gainful employment with K-Rock. Usually, the station is glad to see him go.
No, I was a good intern.
You were a good intern.
But you were. That's my point. My point is you were a good intern, and that's why you were able to stay on. So congratulations. I'm happy to hear it.
There's two things that I remember about Kira. One is that she has the Target tattoo.
Yeah.
And the other is that her dad, if you recall, who lives in Woodland Hills, would not get air conditioning.
Yes.
For years and years and years and years. Do you remember that? And it's like 115 in Woodland Hills, and they don't have air conditioning.
They don't have it now.
Anywhere.
What was his problem? Just the expense? He didn't want to pay for it?
It's the expense, supposedly. And supposedly they'd put me through school before they'd get air conditioning.
But how hot was it at your house sometimes?
It definitely was over 90 a few days this summer.
Yeah.
In the house.
And the other thing about Kara that I remember is that frequent caller Dewan hates her guts.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
Dewan and I are friends now, for the record. He even MySpaced me the other day.
Did he really?
Oh, that's nice.
Good.
I'm glad to hear you kids are working it out.
He called you a hole, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I got my nickname. Thanks, Dewan.
Yeah. Good work. All right. Now, Kara, tell us about Fall Out Boy. What's your story with them?
Okay. Just thinking about them, I'm like shaky already. I fell in love with them freshman year of college when somebody told me about them, and I'd never heard of them before, and I trusted her, so I went right out and I bought Take This to Your Grave, and every time I hear that CD, it takes me back to that year, and it's pretty much my favorite one out of all of them, even though they're all good.
Do you have the new one?
Of course I have the new one.
How do you like that one?
I love it. It's awesome. I actually only have a burned copy of the new one, so I'm kind of a bad fan, but I'm...
Oh, that kind of fan.
But,
I see.
No.
That's a friend, FOD, friend of Dave. Right there.
You're exactly right.
I know. Because I know. Listen, that guy's going to go to jail any day.
I understand you fall in love with an album and it's a significant time in your life and that's why it brings back warm and fuzzy memories forever. But what is it about Fall Out Boy in particular? You've continued to be obsessed with them, right up until today. Why them?
Do you know how many times I've been asked this question and I can't explain it.
Well, you should make one up, for God's sakes, if you keep getting asked the same question.
It's unrivaled love. I'm madly in love with them.
If you were to come down to the studio when they're here tomorrow, would you scare them?
No, I promised Alex if you guys let me come, I wouldn't even touch them. I wouldn't try.
Wow, that's a hell of a promise. I won't even touch them.
Have you ever met any of the guys before?
Well, I think it was my second day working at K-Rock. Mm-hmm. Pete came to talk to Lisa, and I got to walk him from the front office back to her office.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say anything because I couldn't. Like,
right.
No words came to mind, but does that count as meeting somebody?
So this is one of those things where you, if you were in their presence, would have nothing to say because
no.
You just couldn't.
I wouldn't blow my chance if you let me come tomorrow, but I wouldn't be insane.
But that's what we're saying, is we don't want somebody who will start going, oh, my God, and then I listen to it this day, and it was your song, and I was blah, 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 and then the guys are going, get us out of here.
Yeah, we have had bad experiences with crazy, crazy fans before when they're too excited to meet somebody. You know what I mean?
I think I might probably surprise you and just, I don't even
and be
know
cool.
If I could say anything. I would be very cool.
Who's your favorite Fall Out Boy?
Pete.
How come?
He's the cutest.
Would you let him do you?
Oh, please.
Hey, my mom is probably listening.
So,
yes. That's no.
So that's an absolute yes.
What about acoustic? How about Acoustic Christmas when they played, Kara? Did you see them then?
I didn't get to go to Acoustic Christmas. I was answering phones on Saturday.
Oh, that hurts.
That means someone here hates you.
I asked everyone, how was Fall Out Boy? And pretty much everyone I asked said, oh, we didn't stay for their set.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to hurt
you. So I don't even know.
Oh, poor Kara.
I know.
Well, you know, we've interviewed them a bunch of times. I mean, Kevin and I have talked to them in New York. We've talked to them in Miami. We've talked to them here. Nicest guys in the world. Really a lot of fun. I think a lot of them, and I don't know that I want to, subject them to you tomorrow. That's
hey!
My fear. You
know, well,
we have
listen.
A good relationship with them.
Yep.
Kara, it's like, we take phone calls for bands from time to time, and people that just whimper and cry and can't get anything out. It's, in one way, it's touching that they're that moved by anybody. And then on the other way, you really don't want to be around them.
I won't cry. I promise I won't cry.
Can I slap the tear right off your face?
I would allow that.
With a bow and arrow?
Can you watch from Doc Studio?
Yes.
Wow,
she's seriously a fan then.
Yeah.
All right.
You
got
to wear a hazmat suit when you go to the Doc Studio.
They'll be here from 5:30 to 6. We'll see you tomorrow.
You swear?
Not that they'll be
They're
here from 5:30 to 6.
Hour.
No, they'll be here in the 8 o'clock hour.
Wait, which one is it?
Who comes in at 5:30, Kara? It's in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Oh, Oh, yay.
All right, so you can come down, but you have to be on your best behavior.
Thanks, guys.
And come topless.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Speaking of TV last night, Ralph, did you you get a chance to watch The Lost? What'd you think of that?
I thought it was slow, and it was fine. It was fine. But
a bad Lost is still better than most shows, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think that's what you're shooting for if you're making Lost.
No, I know. I understand.
Let's just not make it as bad as Two and a Half Men, and then we'll be fine. What do you say, JJ? All right, let's do that. I would think you'd like to keep the Lost quality to Lost quality.
I liked it, but I'm easy to please.
Yeah, they had good shots in that island. Dude shot a walkie-talkie right out of a girl's hand.
Yeah,
didn't even hit her hand. It was impressive, man. That was cool.
Wait, first shot that out of her hand, and then took another 50 shots and couldn't hit them.
Couldn't hit a thing.
The people.
Yeah, from 10 feet. Nothing but sand. Right. And don't worry about Ben ahead of the others, because he's going to die of an infection in his spine, because people are walking in and out of the operating room like nobody's problem. Forget about the whole sterile field thing. Let's just track in mud from the jungle and sit next to him and hang around. Spine's not a very important place. Doesn't get infected easily. It's fine.
Well, if you haven't been paying attention, they are back with 16 new episodes in a row. And last night was the first of The Lost. And if you missed it, you can see it at ABC.com. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat right now. What's going on?
Sure know a lot about Julia now, though, don't we?
Yes, we do.
A lot about her. Her sister.
Every minute of her life before she got to the island.
Oh, glad her sister's doing better. Well, finally, if you're like me and you're interested to see how they're going to prop up Harrison Ford from another Indiana Jones movie. It's been announced, Steven Spielberg said, according to today's Daily Variety, that they've got a release date for Indiana Jones 4. They don't have a movie, but they know when it's coming out. It'll be Thursday before Memorial Day next year, May 22nd, 2008. We'll see the brand new Indiana Jones film.
Well, they better get cracking.
Yeah, they should start filming something.
Don't they usually write a script and then film and then pick a date?
Sure, if you want to work in the traditional way, Kevin. They're thinking outside the box.
I guess so.
Look, nothing else gives them a little pressure, you know? Puts a little timeline on them, makes them think, oh, we got
maybe
a deadline. Maybe we should give Harrison a shot of B12 and get him in the hat.
He could very well be dead by then, so.
Very well.
Maybe that's why they're
he could be dead now, for all we know. I saw him interviewed the other day. You know what I want to do before I get to the rest of the stories? Let me give away some tickets.
Okay.
I've got tickets for the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere of The Number 23, a new movie starring Jim Carrey. It opens on February 23rd, oddly enough.
That's weird.
And Jim has three letters in it, and 1 - 3 = 2. That's 23.
Okay.
See all the symbolism?
Thank you, William.
I don't. Anyway, if you'd like to go, let me ask you a trivia question. Jim Carrey made a big splash as a famous comedian by playing yet another famous comedian in a movie in 1999. Name the famous comedian Jim Carrey played in a big budget motion picture in 1999. And if you're one of the first callers with the correct answer, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers with that right answer get a pair of tickets to go see The Number 23 world premiere.
And it's not for you.
It's not for you, man.
I can't call. I'm looking for the number right now.
It's not for you. Adrian Curry, our pal from America's Next Top Model, also Surreal Life, and My Fair Brady.
Mm-hmm.
She's pulling back the curtain and exposing exactly what a whore Tyra Banks is.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, come on. Fantastic.
Talking about the reality of the reality show America's Next Top Model. She won it, by the way.
Yes.
And she hates the show. So what does that tell you about the other people who walked away without anything?
Well, she's been trashing that show ever since she left it because she thought she didn't end up with a modeling career, which is what she thought she was going to get from winning the thing.
She really didn't get what the girls after her got.
No, and she didn't get what they said she'd get on the show.
She
even,
did not.
Even that much.
You guys know why that is?
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
She says the girls on the show were told they would be instant millionaires, that Revlon would have their faces everywhere. She says she hasn't been paid yet for any work that she did for the cosmetics company.
Not at all?
Not at all.
Wow, that sounds bad.
Wow.
I guess with Tyra Banks as a producer, you have to expect lies upon lies upon lies, right? Isn't that what you think?
Tyra had a comment about Adrian Curry's remarks.
Oh, did she?
I don't know if you guys... Yeah.
I have one thing to say to you.
Yeah.
Kiss my fat ass!
Dude. Not very caring.
Adrian also claims that Tyra et al. Tried to stir things up with the cast by keeping them hungry for long periods of time and then putting them in small rooms.
Oh, seriously?
So they would say, oh, yeah, lunch is coming. They would hold off and hold off and hold off and then keep them in these tight little quarters until they started getting cranky and hungry and attacking each other.
And film
it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
They also kept them to a minimum amount of sleep, trying to get them as cranky as possible. So,
wow.
You do not want to be in a room full of tired, cranky models.
No, God, no.
Oh, wait a minute. I wouldn't mind that, actually.
She's like working with like rats in a lab, for God's sake, for these people.
Making them go through a maze for a piece of cheese.
What the hell?
We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do. We have Nancy and Pico Rivera. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, good morning.
Nancy, what big-time comedian did Andy Kaufman...
Correct.
Did Jim Carrey play in 1999?
Andy Kaufman.
No, yes. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. No, I don't know where you got that idea. Yes, of course, you played Andy Kaufman in Man on the Moon and did a great job with that role, too. So, congratulations, you got a pair of tickets to go see the world red carpet premiere of The Number 23.
Rishi in Anaheim, Jay in West Covina, and Carl in San Dimas also had that answer. So, congratulations.
And now we know what the name is going to be for the big Smashing Pumpkins reunion album. Their first studio CD in 7 years will be called Zeitgeist.
Ow!
Zeitgeist, for those that you know, is a German expression that means in the spirit of the time. Refers to sort of a cultural climate of an era.
The Zeitgeist.
So apparently Billy thinks he's got his thumb right on the pulse of how we're feeling and thinking these days.
Sounds like a party.
It's going to be Billy, of course, Jimmy Chamberlain, the original drummer will be back. We don't know the rest of the lineup, but the release date for the CD is sometime in July. I've heard 777, so you can look forward to it this summer, and of course they will be touring as well, so we'll give you more details as we learn them. Today's celebrity birthdays: Seth Green, our pal from the Austin Powers movies, also Family Guy, his own show Robot Chicken is very funny over there on the Cartoon Network. He is 33 years old today. Gary Coleman from Different Strokes.
Yeah. Sex call?
I don't know, can we? Dare we?
Sex call?
You sound really pretty.
Oh, thanks,
Let
Gary.
Me tell you what I'm wearing.
Oh.
I'm wearing brown pants,
yeah,
an old navy crew neck, and a pair of red Skechers.
Wow.
Did I mention I'm also wearing a UGO baseball cap?
Really?
I'm lying on my floor playing with my model trades right now. I'm making tracks, baby!
Very sexy. Scary. He's 39 years old.
Oh, my God.
Is he still the one that claims that he's never had sex?
He claims. Huh. Vince Neil from Motley Crue is 46. Wow, this whole birthday list just sounds like a Cast This Real Life, doesn't
yep.
it?
It does, yes.
All right. Hey, this is Vince Neil, and...
Oh, sorry, Vince was 46 years old. And Nick Nolte, one of my favorites. 66 years old today. Great actor, seriously.
Yes. Yeah,
he's a good actor. Always watchable, even in bad movies. He's always interesting to watch. But he's crazy.
Yeah, he's out of his mind.
His freaking mind.
But at least he's super ugly.
That's a boot. The thing is, he used to be like a matinee idol, like one of the best looking
really?
Guys in Hollywood. Oh, yeah, back in like The Deep when he was doing that stuff and Rich Man, Poor Man and those kind of movies.
Yeah, you're
I remember
right.
that. Ladies loved him.
But what happened?
He discovered the bottle. He's 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, American Idol, last night. Fire. One last bad crop.
It was great because what they did was sort of give you an overview of all the horribleness all season long. Not that they played any pre-existing footage. This is all new stuff. But they covered the major themes of why people are so bad, which I thought was important to sort of sum up.
Mm-hmm.
And first and foremost, they talked about the people with the crazy costumes, the looks, the people who dress real wild and stuff, trying to get attention just by looking like an ass.
Right.
And they said, don't do that, especially if you can't sing. You're not really helping yourself. This girl, Krista Fazzino, she showed up in like checkered shorts and a boa and a pillbox hat and red and green. She just looked like an ass. But she thought she had it going on.
With fashion, I really love to express what mood I'm in. Today I'm feeling really bright, vibrant, happy, excited. It's who I am and it's different, yet I feel like I pull it off and I'm proud of it.
No, no, you don't pull it off. You can't pull it off. Do not be proud of it. Dress like a normal person. Well, at least she had the talent to back it up.
I guess I was so wrong. It's just too good to be true.
I don't know what song that is. I don't even know if it would even matter.
Yeah, I think Paul is focusing on the wrong part of the audition. I don't recognize the song. She's horrible. What's the matter?
You would think, though, that if they're going to pick one song to, you know, sing for them, that they would be able to identify it.
You would hope.
You would think.
Well, we'll talk about later in the show how they did all the people who came in with originals.
Oh, yes.
That was a whole other mistake that people made.
Sure.
Next up was Edward Sanchez, who I swear to God looks like the king's brother. Could be the king of Mexico's
really?
Brother. Yeah. Who just loves, loves, loves Paula. I think the only reason he auditioned is because he's insanely in love with Paula.
Really?
And he's got to be 21, 22 years old, and she's 80 or whatever she is, but right. He's just head over heels in love with her, especially this one video.
Thank you so much.
You like Paula a lot?
Yes, I watched her ever since I was small, like I was 8 years old, you know, with the cat and everything, like everything, yeah, like that.
remember that cat? You and the cat were dancing? Yeah, I like that.
Was her video?
Remember that? Remember you and the cat?
Is there a video of her and a cat?
Yeah, that opposites attract. There's a huge video. It's the animated cat where she's dancing with the cartoon cat.
MC Scat Cat.
MC Scat
That's
Cat.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just, it was probably her biggest video. Like, remember that time you were at the cat? It reminded me of Chris Farley, Saturday Night Live. Remember when you were the Beatles and you sang that song? That was great. Anyway, he sang the song Donna. An old classic from the 50s. Richie Valens, who did La Bamba, mm-hmm. He had a hit with a song called Oh Donna. And not as good as this.
Oh, Donna, oh, Donna, oh, Donna, oh, Donna.
Try something.
Thank you.
How about anything else?
He was going to do it again.
He was
going to
keep doing. Just try a different note, a different key,
part
something.
Of the song.
Mix it up somehow.
I'm surprised he didn't sing a Paula Abdul song. Surprised you didn't triangle that one.
Opposites attract. Yeah. He could have been the cat. You know, the cat with you and the cat. I love that.
I like that.
Then they had several people who brought in original songs. But what are they thinking? It's bad enough to prove that you can sing a song. Now you're trying to prove that you can write a song, too.
Yeah.
And you can't because you're bad at both.
It's the wrong competition for that anyway. But
Faithon Gooding came in.
Faithon Gooding.
Faithon is an African-American gentleman who... Yes, believe it or not. He wrote a song called Do It To Ya. And I think that may be the only lyrics he has.
Cause I can do it to ya. Baby girl, do it to ya. Yeah, and I can do it to ya.
Stop, stop. Just stop. Melissa Furlack came along with her composition, Flow the Desert.
Flow the Desert.
I don't even know what it means.
That's the name of the song.
I can't understand what she's saying.
Something somehow burst my spell. Crests of waves shall carry me. Fall beyond my mind to see.
Oh, God in heaven. Ears are bleeding. Brandon Reed came up with the original composition called Talk to Ya.
Talk to Ya.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me talk to you, baby girl. Yo, wait a minute. Just a minute. Let me talk to you, baby girl. Whoa.
Well, if it's America's Next Top Robot, then maybe you got a chance with that audition. But
remember we talked about that guy from the Beatboxing World Championship or whatever that was?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Not how I
this
would
guy tries to sing and beatbox at the same time.
Then we met William Emil Samland, or Wes, as his friends call him, because
Wes.
That's the... First letter.
Yes,
exactly. He's working on currently recording his own album. He doesn't need really an American Idol.
Sure.
Because he's working on his own album. He hopes to release it soon.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought he'd try out anyway. He had an original composition as well. But here's William talking about his project.
I've been working on an album that is near completion now. And hopefully get my record out soon.
No, we're looking forward to it, Wes. I think this will be the single off the album, I'm guessing, called Don't Worry, Don't Hurry. And you know from the title, it blows. Song I wrote called Don't Worry, Don't Hurry. Look, you're a little retarded guy, and that's the name of your song. Wait till you hear the lyrics of Don't Worry, Don't Hurry.
You gotta keep fighting for your innocent love. You gotta keep pushing for the next level up. It's never ever over till you throw in the towel. If you want it smooth, you gotta push on that trowel.
If you want it smooth, you gotta push on that trowel.
It was Cliche City right up until that one.
Trowel. Who works trowel into a pop song these days?
Not enough people.
Well, they saved the best for last, I think, where they had a game called Name That Song, where people who were so horrible that the songs they were singing were completely unrecognizable.
Oh, but they're hit songs from other people, right?
Yeah, this song, this first one is a song called Annie Song. Was a big hit by John Denver back in the 70s. Sort of a, you know, a rock, folk rock pop song. Anyway, this girl, maybe one of the worst ever.
You fill up my senses like a night in the forest, like a mountain in springtime, like a walk in the rain.
Oh.
Wow, the not only, even close.
Not even close.
The only thing the American Idol show could do better is to give all three judges paintball guns.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
And when somebody like that stands up and opens her mouth, they just fill it with paint.
Or they should try to sing and run. Try to dodge the paintballs as they're singing. That would make it more entertaining. Remember the girl from yesterday who sang Black Velvet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was back. They were wise enough to bring her back.
A different
singing another song.
Wow.
An old song from the 50s called Chantilly Lace. And I want to sing a little bit just so you have an idea how it goes, because you won't believe what she does to it. It was a song by a DJ, actually. It was a one-hit wonder in the 50s. And it went, Chantilly Lace and a pretty face and a ponytail hanging down, wiggling and walk. That song.
Right? Oh, yeah,
oh, baby,
that.
You know what I like. That's from the 50s. This is her version of that song.
The one you just sung.
Yes.
How's the world, the world moving down? Oh, so long, the pretty face. And you make me act in a funny way. You make me spend all my money. Ain't nothing loose but a goose. Oh, honey, baby girl, you make me feel you know what I like.
Now, as everyone knows, that was not successful.
She's something's wrong.
Wow.
Something's wrong there. I want her to be the next American Idol more than anything
else. I want her to be the next president of the United States.
Every song she sings. Marley Matlin is the next American Idol.
Maybe the greatest thing that's happened in our country since the vice president shot that dude in the face is the story of the astronaut who went crazy. And by all accounts, by the way, nobody saw this one coming. She was a straight arrow. She was, well respected at NASA. She was a good employee.
Listen, here's some trouble
at home.
Here's the info that was in the paper today. Lisa Nowak is her name. She's a captain in the U.S. Navy. She's flown more than 1,500 hours in over 30 different aircraft.
Jeez.
So she's really, really accomplished.
Yeah.
Her dream was to fly, in a space shuttle, which she got last July. She flew in a space shuttle Discovery in July, and she operated a robotic arm during the spacewalks and all kinds of stuff. That was like her dream of all time. And that's when she met the dude. And the dude's name is William Ofeline or something like that.
And he also is a space shuttle astronaut.
Yes.
They were not up in space together, but they both did separate missions last year. And now this chick, Lisa Marie Nowak, is going down in NASA history as the first astronaut ever to be charged with a felony, because she found out that this guy, and we're unclear as to what the relationship she had with this other male astronaut was, but she definitely was obsessed with him. She found out that he was seeing somebody else, somebody who's not an astronaut, but somebody who is, I guess, in the Air Force. And she used the NASA computers, apparently, to get information as to what her flight schedule was or when she was going to be landing in Orlando. And she got in her car and drove from Houston to Orlando over 1,000 miles or nearly 1,000 miles. With what intent, we don't know, but she has been arrested and charged with attempted murder.
But
she showed up with...
You forgot the diaper that she wore on the drive so that she wouldn't have to stop and go to the bathroom.
Right. But also, she had a knife. She had, rope?
Latex gloves.
Trash bags. It sounds like she was going to dismember this woman.
She had a BB gun. She had a knife. And when the woman got off the plane and walked to her car, she followed her in a wig and a trench coat and pepper sprayed her.
And pepper sprayed her, right. By the way, I'm sure you guys have thought the same question, and maybe you've heard the answer. I haven't. It's one thing to not stop to pee, but don't you have to buy gas? Who can drive almost 1,000 miles without stopping to buy gas?
They have gas diapers. She put a gas diaper on her car. extra gas.
So this has to go down in history as one of the greatest confrontations with the other woman that I've ever heard about.
The weird part about the story, though, is that it doesn't appear that this woman, the crazy woman, who, by the way, was married, had like a 9-year-old son and two twin little girls or something like that, and I guess they split up or whatever. It sounds like she was obsessed with the astronaut guy.
But that they weren't having an affair.
But there was never an affair between the two of them. It sounds like she was just obsessed with. So this guy is just trying to have a relationship with somebody else, and this woman tracks down that somebody else and says, that's my man, what do you do? Pepper spray, police, the whole deal goes down.
Why don't you just do what everyone else does, which is take it to Jerry Springer? I mean, that's where these things need to be settled, like
that's
adults.
Right. I agree, you know? Jerry Springer. So what we want is we want some phone calls of you if you confronted the other woman. Now, you don't have to necessarily be crazy like this astronaut was. But it seems like the confrontation of the other woman is a bad situation. Lisa May?
Yeah. When I was in college, I was dating a guy who was quite a bit older than me.
And really? What a surprise.
He had a woman he used to date.
So he had broken it off with her?
He had broken it off with
her.
Do
you know that for a fact?
No.
Okay.
And so we'd been dating, and but she would call and stuff. And so I knew they had some kind of relationship, and he said it was because they owned some real estate together, so they had to stay in touch, all this stuff. Well, it turns out he was seeing both of us and lying to both of us. So one day, he and I are in a restaurant, and she drove up, walked in, and yanked me out of the booth by my hair.
Did she say anything to you first?
I don't remember.
Or just grab just a handful
she was
of hair?
Furious that we were there at this restaurant together, and then he grabbed her by the arm and walked her out of the.
And where were you? Just laying on the floor of the restaurant?
I was so embarrassed. Can you imagine? I was dying. I think I crawled back into the booth and hid my head.
I mean, you must have just been stunned. Oh, what just happened?
It
I don't even
know. Frightening, actually. It was really scary. I didn't, you know, who knows what's going to happen?
See, good things happen when you confront the other woman. Nothing bad.
I didn't know I was the other woman.
You were probably so pissed. I bet you only had sex with him about another 100 times before you broke up with him.
Right.
Maybe 101.
Because he was good, right?
Wow.
1-800-520-1067, confronting the other woman. Nothing good ever comes of this. And yet, quite funny for the rest of us.
Yes.
So, 1-800-520-1067, we'll take your calls next.
Nice.
Everyone's talking about the best story in America, and that is crazy astronaut diaper lady. She confronted the other woman with intent to at least pepper spray her, I guess, and she was going to at least kidnap her and maybe cut her up. So we don't know what the plan was, but she has been charged with attempted murder, and it got us thinking about confronting the other women and the hilarity that can ensue from that. At 1-800-520-1067, oh, we got some good calls. I'm really looking forward to some of these. Why don't we start with Corey, who's calling us from La Habra. And it's exactly what we're talking about. Corey, was it your boyfriend was seeing somebody else, or what was the setup in your love triangle?
Well, I went to his house, and I found a pair of underwear that weren't mine. And he tried to tell me that they were.
These are yours.
Really?
Babe, these are yours.
No. Yeah.
Really? And so what happened?
Well, I knew that they were. And I kind of called the girl, and I was like, are these yours? And at first she tried to deny it, but then she said yeah. And so we kind of like banded together, and we just... I ripped him a new one, and
wait, who banded together? You and the other girl?
Yeah,
that's cool. Because a lot of times women go after each other, and that's not the problem.
No, but that's better because it's sexier,
I suppose.
All right, thank you, Corey. The other woman's underwear in the house. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it's yours. I know it's yours.
You can't pull that off with a woman because women know their underwear.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy Lynn in La Palma. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Kevin and Dean, and lovely Lisa May?
Hi, Christy Lynn.
How are you?
Hi.
What happened?
Long story short, my husband and I were going through some problems. I found out that he was on Match.com, unbeknownst to me, we were three kids.
Nice.
Awesome. I know. How you're like, yes, thank you very much. And I confronted the other woman. I got her number, and I called her, and I let her know that he was married, and she was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm never, oh, he's so horrible, he's a bastard, blah, blah, blah. Well, that night I came home, and she was in bed with him naked.
Oh, no. Well, your talk really helped.
I was like, yeah, he's such a bastard.
What is it?
So I yanked the blankets off the bed, yanked the sheets off the bed, because it was a new comforter set I just bought, pushed her out the front door naked.
And then you invited her back in and had mad, passionate sex.
No.
All right.
Kevin.
Flipped him off, took the dog, took the blanket. She was talking on the cell phone in the front yard, took the cell phone, threw it in the pond, drove off, and filed for divorce the next day.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Woman scorned, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude,
there you go.
But you talked to her that day, and then you find her that night.
I like that her concern is that the comforter was new.
Yeah. Hey, that's a new comforter. And you know what? I'm taking that with me. Nothing you can do about it.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Christy Lynn, for the call. Let's make a note. If you ever meet anyone named Christy Lynn, do not date her, okay? Dangerous.
All right. Let's go to Jamie in Irvine. Good morning, Jamie.
Hi. Good morning, boys. Lisa May.
Hi, Jamie.
You confronted the other woman?
Oh, it was kind of the other way around, actually.
I was living with my boyfriend at the time. We had only been together a couple months, and he decided one day to tell me that he had cheated on me with his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Just one time, didn't mean anything. I was packing my bags, ready to leave. We get a knock at the door. He says, don't answer it. And I'm like, what do you mean, don't answer
it? Don't answer it.
I got to open the door. Sure enough, it's psycho ex-girlfriend. I didn't even get to open the door. She was trying to push her way in, yelling and screaming, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, my God.
I had no idea what was going on. She's this big Mexican chick. I thought I was going to die. So we lock the door. We're in an apartment, and she decides that she wants to come in through the little window over the sink. She's literally breaking into the house at this point. I am scared to death.
Jamie, was she going to kill you or your guy?
She's going to kill me because I'm the other woman. We've been dating for like 2 or 3 months at this point.
Wow.
I didn't know I was the other woman. And I really was scared for my life. And I went into our roommate's room, like in the closet, was calling the police saying somebody's breaking into our house. She broke in through the window. And my boyfriend at the time was actually trying to hold her down as opposed to getting to me until the cops got there. He literally had to hold her down.
Dude, wow.
That's awesome.
And then she got arrested and went to jail for a couple days because she ended up hitting him, and it apparently wasn't the first time she had hit him.
Wow.
That's great. That's fantastic news.
That's fantastic news for us because we didn't have to live through it.
Right, exactly.
Thank you, Jamie, for the
still
call.
It haunts me.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
Let's talk to Nicole in Huntington Beach because she is the crazy woman who shows up to attack the other woman. Nicole, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What's the story here?
Yeah, I'm pretty crazy.
What happened?
My best friend was the next door neighbor to my boyfriend, right? So mm-hmm. We come home late, like at 2:30 after we were clubbing, and there was a car in his driveway, and it had like leopard steering wheel or something, so I was like, no. So I jumped out of a moving car before we even pulled into her house, and mm-hmm. I jumped out, and they were like, no, you know, don't. I'm like, nope, I already, you know, we were already having problems, of course, so I ran in the house, the front door wasn't locked, and then I went to his room, and the door was locked with, like, a hook latch, you know,
right,
that you can only lock from the inside,
right.
So I push it, and then I wouldn't go, you know, it was locked, so I step back, and I just, like, rammed it with my shoulder, and the door just came down with the frame attached to the hook.
Oh, beautiful.
God.
Yeah, the frame was still attached to the door, and the door came down with the hook just hanging there. And I'm on the light, and he was so wasted. He was so drunk and passed out, and he was like, why?
But was the other girl in there with him?
Oh, yeah, she was in there. They were already, like, the act had been done. They were sleeping.
Right.
So I yanked the covers off of them, and I dragged her. I grabbed her by the hair. She was really little and skinny. So I just grabbed her by her hair and just dragged. And it was a really long house. No.
No. Okay.
Isn't like that okay?
Shoot.
And I dragged her all the way out the front door with no clothes on. Locked her out. And I made his roommate, who was actually dropping us off at my neighbor's house, park right behind her.
Mm-hmm.
But she actually couldn't even leave with her car.
Very nice.
Well, what did you do to your boyfriend?
Killed him.
Oh, and then I beat him up with his lamp.
Okay. Then I feel good.
I didn't even wake up.
I am afraid of Nicole.
He's now in a coma. He never woke up.
Wow.
He didn't even know until the next day. He was so...
Nicole, I don't ever want to meet you.
No.
Thank you for calling,
though. Thank you, my dear. We already have time for one more. I guess it has to be our pal, Shondell, down in Long Beach, because this may be the ultimate in confronting the other woman. Shondell, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. So it was your husband had another girlfriend, right?
Right, and I didn't know about it for 9 months.
Wow.
And it happened that when I came to California, I lived in Arizona, came to California for my grandma's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
He cheated on me, and his friends told me the day she was in the hospital having the baby.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
He cheated on you, and he got the other girl pregnant, and she had a baby.
Yes.
So, yeah, and they told you the day the other girl was in the hospital having his baby?
Yes. His friends said, if you don't tell her, we're going to tell her it's the right thing to do.
So what happened?
So I called my best friend up, and we went to the hospital with him. And me and my best friend went to the hospital while she's laying there with her baby to meet my husband's son. And this girl was like, he told me you guys weren't together.
Do you think that she honestly believed him or that she knew she was cheating?
I'm pretty sure she knew. She'd call the house, and I'd answer, and he's like, oh, it's for work. It's for work.
Ah, sure.
Dude.
So what was there a fight?
Not there. That was the hospital. But later, he like lied the whole time. We stayed together for like a year.
Wait a minute. Wait. You stayed together for a year after that?
For a year. And then
wait a minute. After his other girlfriend had a baby, you stayed with him for a year.
Right. He said it was over and blah, blah. And
now he's got a kid with her. It can't be over.
Right, so he told me that he couldn't find her, that she was afraid that we were going to take her baby from her because she was young and dumb.
Yes.
I was obviously dumb.
Yes.
He was giving her money from our checking account. I didn't even know.
Shondell. Come on. I mean, that's...
That was your fault, girlfriend.
That sets a pretty high stupidness bar right there. That's tough.
It was.
So what finally broke you up?
When I found out that he actually knew where she was and was giving her the money, and 2 weeks after we broke up, he got custody of her, of his son.
Wow. Well, you know, legally, he had to give her money. It's not like he had much choice. He owed child support. I mean, that was the right thing for him to do, but it's crazy that he would be hiding that from you.
Right. I didn't know until our tax return was done and they took all the money for back child support. And so I was like, the whole time, like, yes, I can be the stepmom of this child. It's fine. You're my husband. I love you. And he's like, well, I don't know where she is. I don't know where the kid is.
Fantastic.
You are an understanding and patient and naive person.
Yeah. Very naive back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love you. Thank you for the call, Shondell. Bye now.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat now. Ralph, what's going on?
I got very excited when I heard news this morning from the New York Post that Drew Barrymore had a new man, because I had heard rumors that Dwan ran across her.
What are you talking about?
Bean got some texts this morning. Some texts from Dwan saying he ran across her and got a chance
to... I met Drew Barrymore. We had hot sex in the hiney.
Oh, he didn't say that.
No,
but
I wish he had. But apparently the New York Post is saying this morning that Drew's got a new boyfriend, and it's Zach Braff of Scrubs.
That's tight.
Apparently the two were hanging out last weekend after she hosted Saturday Night Live, and spies are telling the New York Post Page Six gossip column that the two are definitely dating. When asked, Drew's representative said, they're just friends.
With benefits.
She's really friendly with his penis. Here's how you tick off Britney Spears. She was at a New York nightclub, according to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. She was hanging out with former NSYNC member J.C. Chazay. They were hanging out, and the DJ starts playing the new Justin Timberlake track off his CD.
Right.
Witnesses at the club saw Britney cross the dance floor, go up to the DJ booth, and talk to the DJ. Next thing you know, Timberlake's pulled off Something Else Is in Its Place.
Really?
Mid-song.
How
do you like me now?
Do they think that he saw her, thought it would be funny, and played it? Because they would normally play his music, I would guess.
Especially this new CD's very popular. Yeah. But she apparently doesn't want to have that played while she's in the dance
club. How about that?
Either I'm assuming she has hard feelings, or she feels probably when his music's being played, everybody's looking at her to get her reaction or whatever. Either way,
could be.
Probably makes her uncomfortable. Plus, she's so high on drugs.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
You know, I'd be willing to bet that Justin doesn't care whether they play Britney music when he's there. No. He doesn't seem like he's really affected by that breakup.
Not at all. A judge has stepped forward yet once again and demanded that Anna Nicole Smith submit her baby daughter's DNA for testing. Brand new timeline, February 21st now is the deadline. The first time they tried this, Anna Nicole Smith got a bunch of her lawyers to block the order, claiming that the DNA team sent to collect the DNA was in the Bahamas, and they were from America. They didn't have work permits to do the job, and so that was not legal.
Sounds like a BS stalling tactic.
Absolutely. Well, a California judge yesterday overturned that ruling and said, no, she must comply with a new court deadline. And hopefully this will settle the dispute between Anna Nicole and her ex-boyfriend, Larry Burkhead, as to who the baby's father is. Of course, she claims that it's her longtime lawyer, Howard K. Stern. And Larry says it's him, and she says she has nothing to hide, but she will not submit to the test.
No, it's funny you mentioned the story, Ralph Garman.
Oh, Gene Simmons.
Now, how are you?
That is funny.
I just got off the phone with the district attorney, Lisa.
You did?
He demanded I submit my DNA to your face.
What's the deadline? What's the deadline on that, Gene? What's the what did the court say? When do you have
you
to
want him to continue?
When you have
right.
to get ready
by the end of the show.
End of the show.
Yes.
Oh,
end of the show.
Wow.
Right.
Well, Lisa, law's the law.
End of the show biz.
Go lock myself in another room.
You hate to be a scofflaw.
That's right.
So I suggest you comply.
Uh huh.
And The Departed, smash hit for Martin Scorsese, a very talented director. It's an Oscar-nominated film. I loved it. I thought it was one of the best movies of the year. Mark Wahlberg, one of the stars of the film, says he's been approached to star in a sequel to the movie. Well, here's the problem. Everyone's dead.
Yeah, at the end, they were all dead, right?
Except for him. And maybe Alec Baldwin. But everyone else, dead.
Really dead.
Really, really, violently, gloriously dead.
Not coming back from, hey, we thought you were dead.
No, ooh, you were just knocked unconscious by that bullet to the face. Apparently, he says they've got a plan, though, already. The film's writer, William Monahan, is already working on a sequel, which will focus on Wahlberg's character as a rogue state trooper who investigates corruption at a higher level than just the police. It goes all the way up to politics, and they're talking about bringing in Robert De Niro to play a senator or congressman that he's investigating.
Hmm. That's cool.
Could be. I don't know. But without, you know, Jack and...
I know, but De Niro
is... DiCaprio and Martin Sheen.
That was a great cast.
What's that?
Don't need Jack.
Don't need Jack. Nice, King of Mexico.
Maybe Frankie Muniz could be in this movie.
Wahlberg says if that film is a success, they'll make a trilogy out of it and do a prequel, bringing everyone back, talking about their lives before the events that took place in The Departed.
So, oh, I like that.
Something to look forward to. I could see that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Seth Green, our pal, played, of course, Scott Evil, Dr. Evil's son in the Austin Powers movies. Also, you know him from Buffy and his own show, Robot Chicken, over there on Cartoon Network, which is very, very funny. He's 33 years old today. Vince Neil, singer from Motley Crue, turns 46 years old today. Nick Nolte, very talented actor, is 66 years old today. John Williams, legendary film composer, did Star Wars and...
all the good ones.
Jaws and Indiana Jones, E.T. Man, guy's got a resume, doesn't he? He's 75 years old today. And Gary Coleman, our little pal Gary Coleman, world's oldest virgin, is 39 years old today. You know him, of course, from Different Strokes, but maybe you know him best from his work as a phone sex operator.
Bean,
or
you know
maybe you don't.
Bean,
know
you this one you want me to. I got it, Hammer.
I know how it is. We've all done bad things, baby. We all have those guilty feelings in our hearts.
True, right?
So you're going to spread those little legs. Oh. That's good. That's right. First, we're going to check for holes. See what we can find.
What?
Wash it and scrub it and make it clean. Then we're going to get nice and wet. That's right.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you one more time.
Right.
What's my name?
Gary Coleman.
Oh, God.
Was I the only one listening last time we played that? Or suggested maybe we shouldn't play that again?
It's gross, I'll tell you that.
Gross? It's not what you're thinking. He said look at your legs and see if there are any holes in your legs.
Like, he's looking for holes in your legs?
Yes.
All right, explain that one to me.
I can't really.
All right, well, you better start practicing, because when we get into a courtroom, it's not
I know how it is.
Yeah, I know it is, too. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, a black moment with Lisa May.
Hey, Trick, I see you jocking. Why don't you look my way? Ass up, face down is the game I want to play.
Wow. That was a black moment with Lisa May.
Wow. Impressive.
Well done.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, K-Rock listener Raul reminded us that it is, in fact, Black History Month, and we have been remiss in celebrating this very important holiday. So that's what we're doing. That's our tribute to Black History Month right there for you.
Good looking out.
Good looking out, indeed.
As is this feature.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067, you get on the air, you get a prize.
Let me see. How about a pair of tickets to join Lightning at the NHRA Winter Nationals? That's this Sunday at the AAA Raceway in Pomona. That's what you get just for being on the air with us. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Hector, because apparently he is the voice of the people this morning. He is La Raza, because he's representing all the emails that Ralph has been getting for the last 45 minutes. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What's up, Hector?
What's your complaint?
You know, I'm kind of pissed at Ralph that he gave away the ending to The Departed, man.
you're pissed at me for that, Hector?
For giving away?
I didn't know they all died, dude. What's up with that, man?
Because you were really eager to see the movie. Is that what happened? You were looking forward to it
next week, right?
Didn't The Departed come out
October 6th? It came out, Kevin. October 6th. It's been out for over 4 months, Hector. If you had any interest to see The Departed, you should have gotten your fat ass to a theater by now. 4 months you had to go see it.
What is the statute of limitations on talking about that movie for you?
By the way, Hector's not the only one. You're getting emails, weren't you?
Tons of emails. People saying, oh, thanks a lot, spoiler. Hey, how about a spoiler alert next time when you talk about a movie that's been out for 4 effing months?
Hector, are
how
you...
How much could you care? You haven't seen it in 4 months.
No, I heard it was real good.
Yeah,
it was.
Wow.
Look, here's the thing. You have to accept that if you're not in step with the rest of society, if whatever show, TV show or whatever, you don't see it the opening weekend or whatever, and somebody else is talking about it, that's on you. You know, yeah, you can't expect the world to stop talking.
I gave you 4 months to check it out before I started talking about it. That was your window of opportunity.
You should give, like, a spoiler warning or something.
Hector, you know,
the radio, man.
Hector, do you know that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hey, Hector, Kevin Spacey was Kaiser Soze. I hate to break it to you, but he turned out to be Kaiser Soze.
Bruce Willis is dead in The Sixth Sense, by the way.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. And that chick in The Crying Game had a penis.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Everybody who's been writing me, by the way. How could you, what's wrong with you? Revealing the ending of The Departed. Screw you!
You really do have to have
four months later. 4 months later.
Well, we have to deal with this more than most people because, like, for shows that we all watch, like Lost or whatever, if it's the very next day and we haven't seen it, that's too bad. That's just
we gotta lump it. We gotta talk about it.
4 months later, I think that's a record.
I think so, too.
I think Hector's the strong.
Let's talk to a Jenner in L.A. I had not heard about this until this morning, but apparently a Super Bowl bet gone bad is what Jenner's on the line about. Jenner, what to do, nephew?
What to do, nephews?
What to do, nephew?
Hey, Jenner.
Hey, yeah, the bet was a Chicago Bear fan, huge Bear fan, apparently, that this team lost. He had to change his name to Peyton Manning.
If the Bears lost the Super Bowl, he had to legally change his name to Peyton Manning.
That's right. And apparently, what I was thinking is, how about when Frank, what the hell am I talking about?
Ralph?
When Ralph gets his butt kicked, why doesn't he change his name to Dave Sanchez?
For the boxing.
For the drink boxing.
Fair enough.
How's that sound?
But does King of Mexico have to go with Ralph Garman?
Sure, okay.
No, it's just a one-way bet.
But how about after Dave drinks some of that tequila? You know, that's like spinach for Mexicans.
Yeah, that's true.
Popeye,
that is true.
Oh, that's
Ralph
a good point.
How many jobs is Ralph going to get in show business with a name like Dave Sanchez?
Dude, more than Ralph Garman, apparently. I couldn't get any less jobs in show business.
I'm glad people are still excited about the drink boxing. And again, I'll repeat, we haven't been talking about it much because it's still over a month away, but we're shooting for March the 16th. And by the way, that's a great idea for Dave to come out to tequila. That should be his theme song as he enters the ring, don't you think?
No, he's already claimed he's coming out to rage, I think.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, is he?
Dude, I'm coming out to rage. I don't care what anybody says. I'm entering the ring to rage.
He loves Rage Against the Machine. Yeah, sure.
And what's your song going to be? Are you going to do Mama Said Knock You Out, or what do you have in mind, Ralph?
I'm not sure. I think I might have to go with Eye of the Tiger from Rocky.
Yeah.
Or the original Rocky theme, something from the Rocky.
Heat of the moment.
From the Rocky pantheon of music.
No, you don't need to find it. We know
the whole
is.
Philadelphia thing, you know. That might work too.
You know, something like that.
That might work too.
Alex and Crenshaw. Good morning.
Hey, this is what a dude nephew with Phil.
Yes, it is.
Hey,
you're right. Congratulations, you won. Name the segment.
What's going on, Alex?
Hey, we were going down the 10 freeway all the time, and this chick on the Lexus pulled up, this business chick, and she had, like, she was running with her right leg, and the other one was up high, and, like, she was all relaxed, and her leg was high up in the air, mm-hmm. and you could see her black underwear. Oh, it was bomb.
So you're telling me that a girl was driving next to you on the freeway and she was pulling up her skirt so you could see what she had going on?
She wasn't pulling it up. She was just kicking back and you could see it.
She was driving spread eagle.
A lot of girls like to relax like that.
Nothing's more comfortable than having one foot up on the dash and the other one down there by the side
of the wheel.
Break.
but I
think more women should do that. I mean, I think that's a good plan. Right there.
Yeah, but then she saw us and she pulled her skirt down. It was a sick killer.
Oh,
but
that's
then,
too
like,
bad.
After we were in traffic, they kept going back and forth.
Right.
And then after she just She just didn't care anymore. She did it again.
That's nuts! Alex, I have to be honest with you when I say I feel like this call has peaked.
We're going to move on.
Our manufacturers should start making stirrups in the dashboard, I think.
Excellent.
For women. Because we love this.
One on each side of the wheel.
Exactly.
I like it.
And
good.
A speculum where the horn goes.
All right, let's go to Ben in Culver City, because if this is true, this rules. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What's it do, baby boo?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, so I was working late in my office last night, and I get home like at 2 a.m., and I guess my roommate had some random chick at home.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Is your roommate a guy or a girl?
It's a guy.
Okay.
Let me clarify that. So I guess she gets up to go to the bathroom, and our layout of our house is pretty symmetrical, and she walks into my room butt naked, and I kind of look over, and I go, holy F, to myself, and she just comes and slides right into the bed.
Yes.
And I could not let this opportunity go to waste, so I just start caressing her, and then she starts to talk, and I just kept shushing her and shushing her.
Shh, don't say anything, don't say anything.
Don't speak, don't speak.
Don't ruin the magic. Did she think that you were the roommate? That's what she thought when she got in bed with you?
I don't think she even opened her eyes. She just kept her eyes closed, all the lights were off, and she just walked right into the room.
That's
and, like,
awesome.
Right back down. And then, we're messing around a little bit, and I'm just going to take this as far as it goes.
Of course.
And then my roommate in the morning.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, she reaches up and starts touching my face, and I have facial hair, and my roommate doesn't. And she goes, wait, what?
Aww. You didn't move fast enough, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Aww, it's not our fault, dude. When you get that opportunity, you got to move quick.
I know, I know.
All right, thanks for calling.
That's a great story, though.
That is a great story. Alex, our assistant producer, just wrote up on the screen that her roommate's apparently walking on her nude regularly. I don't know.
They're nude or she's nude?
I can't tell. It's super whore. How am I supposed to
know? Have we not heard this story?
She's got stories like that.
Why is she sending riddles over the screen? Why does she give us more information?
She has stories like that every day, Lisa. You know that. She's super
whore. Oh, it was her, naked.
I don't know who was
naked. No, she just wrote, me naked.
Me naked.
So it's her.
That her roommate walked in on her naked?
On her naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she was naked when they walked in. Well, who could blame them? I mean, what do you expect a guy to do? If
sure.
Are they confused by the layout of their own home?
I don't know.
Let's take Joe's call, because since people are complaining about stuff that we have no control over, let's find out what else they're bitching about this morning.
Hey, Joe.
What a nephew to do.
That's right.
What is a nephew to do? You're right.
What a nephew to do.
Good looking out.
What's going on?
Well, I made it on the air. I'm really nervous.
All right, then. Hey, thanks for calling.
Okay, so the reason why I'm calling is, you guys got this promotion going on for the tour going on to Iceland, and people are saying it's cold and everything.
We're sending Incubus to Iceland. We're doing the grand prize drawing tomorrow morning at 7:15.
Right.
Correct. Yeah, Iceland's not cold. It's
well, you're
really green. And
you're wrong about that.
You know,
you're just
there.
Wrong.
It is
cold.
Have you been there, Joe?
No, I haven't. But I just remember in my history class, Greenland is the actual icy part cold, but the Iceland is actually green. And the old original settlers or old history people, they did that to confuse people. They said, oh, let's go to Greenland. When they get there, it's all ugly. But
I'm sorry, the old history people said?
Sure. Story.
Yeah. Now, Joe, listen, you're only half wrong. Yeah, that is the legend, is that they did intentionally misname them to confuse people. But that doesn't stop the fact that it actually does get very cold in Iceland. I mean, it's around freezing right now. If you were to go to Iceland today, the high is about 30 degrees. I mean, that's cold enough for us to say it's cold.
It's really cold.
It snowed in Beaumont the other day, so yeah, it can snow anywhere.
Good point.
Okay, that's a good point. Thanks, Joe. I think we've come full circle now.
I think so.
Wow. Exciting story.
Yeah, it sure was.
Departed. Everyone dies. Everyone who missed the early part of the show.
Our guest, Champagne from the Pillow Fight League, for joining us on the show today. Ralph, I don't know if you had a chance to hear that call, but it's nothing like we were hoping it would be.
I got an inverted erection. Actually, it crawled up inside my body. It was not sexy at all.
It's not
apparently,
at all.
Apparently, they're out there. They're out there to hurt each other, and they're macho, manly women. They're not lingerie and panties and light caressing. It's none of that going on at all.
We're going to change all that when we do it.
When we start our own.
If you want to check out the Pillow Fight League, you can go to gopfl.com.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new show, we have The Movie Beat. It's Friday morning, so Ralph will tell you about all the new movies in the theater.
Especially The Departed.
Including Norbit.
Oh, Norbit. Oh, Norbit.
We also have some live music in the studio. Fall Out Boy will be here.
Oh,
how about
that?
Playing some music from their new CD, which is fantastic.
They won't be doing Dance Dance.
I don't know if they will or not, but please say that for me.
Yeah, we need that.
Further proof that Bean is gay. And I listen.
Oh, come on.
This is not further proof. This is conclusive proof.
We try. You may not think that this is true, but we try hard to stay away from this topic because it comes up so often that it's just too repetitive.
Yeah. You know the stuff we talk about on the air?
Yeah.
That's a small percentage of what we could be talking about.
Tip of the iceberg about
but
being gay.
No
or the green, or the Greenberg, depending on which way it goes.
Greenberg, right.
Which one was called, which one isn't.
The old history people, they confused people
that's
that
right.
way. So anyway, we've got conclusive proof to finally end the argument tomorrow. Also, freeway flirting. We had already decided on freeway flirting when Jose, who called and said the girl was...
Alex?
Alex, yes.
The girl called. Oh, sure. The guy speaks with an accent. He's got to be Jose, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I know. I see how you roll now.
Also, apparently there are a lot of stories about me in Miami this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't remember much about. There's,
Why
I guess there was,
be?
I guess there was some
remember?
Drunk dialing going on.
I would be embarrassed if I were you.
Yeah, and throughout this week, things have trickled out, and I would say, "What?" And Lightning goes, "You don't remember calling me?" And I would say, "Not really." And then other people's like, "First time he ever." Jillian, who works with Harvey at TMZ, I called her apparently.
Yeah, my wife comes home and says, "Kevin was so drunk in Miami." What? How would you know?
Apparently. How did your wife know?
She was hanging out with Jillian.
Oh, okay.
They had a few laughs at your expense, my friend.
I have, they've been just, these stories have been just dribbling out all week long. I have no idea what was going on, but it's not
Speaking
good.
Speaking of dribbling out.
And tomorrow we have K-Rock's World Tour 2007 Destination Number 6. We are giving away the grand prize, Incubus in Iceland, which is
so
cold.
So hot there.
It's cold
it's
or not.
So hot there.
It's tropical.
Depending on who you talk to.
It's practically on the equator is what I
believe
hear.
It or not.
You can, well done. You can, you can qualify for that trip all day long today and one more time tomorrow morning before we do the grand prize drawing. And we also have Grammy tickets tomorrow and those tickets to see the Police in their rehearsal before they go on their world tour.
Sweet. All right. All that is tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around for Cat Corbett next with 40 minutes nonstop, including Rise Against, also Sublime, 30 Seconds to Mars, Green Day, The Killers, STP, and more right after this on the world-famous K.